much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Stop where you are and take off your clothes. It's couples massage.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
How much postage does it take to send a letter to Canada?
Who's it going to?
Canada. It says, Dear Canada, you.
You're thinking about it more than I thought about it when I did it. Like, I didn't even think about it, because that's just me.
Miley, don't let them get you down. They're all jealous.
That's pretty cold.
Okay, now she just sounds mentally ill.
And now.
My job consists of basically masking my contempt for the assholes in charge, and at least once a day retiring to the men's room so I can cough while I fantasize about a life that doesn't so closely resemble hell.
Our feature presentation.
Good times.
Wow. That about covers it, right?
Good times right there.
Feel better about my day.
Morning, everybody. Try that again.
Okay.
Morning, everybody.
It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen. The return of the monkey. Come on.
Yay!
Come on.
33, and it's the last day of March. 31st.
We're always surprised when Kevin survives vacation. I got to be honest.
What?
Well,
you know how you do.
You know how you do. Right. Especially when the last words we hear from you are, see you later, effers. I'm going to Las Vegas. We think there's about a 40-60 chance that you'll come back. So we're just a little surprised.
40 I'm going to or 60 I'm going to?
40-60 that you'll come back. So 40% chance you'll come back, 60% you won't.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit of a surprise when you walk in that you actually made it. Plus, not just, you know, ending up in a drug deal gone bad or, you know, a party bus accident or something like that. You know, you could forget you have a job that possibly exists.
Sure.
You might forget even if you remember the job, you could get up this morning or forget what day it is, not get up.
Sure.
Get up this morning, forget where the radio station is.
You're right. There are a lot of options.
I mean, think about how many steps Kevin has to go through in order to realize he has a job and then somehow get dressed, get in his car, drive to, and get in the building to perform said job.
Define perform.
Good question.
Well, how was your vacation? Was it
was
fun?
Good. Yeah, it was fun. It was good.
Do you own Las Vegas now?
I don't technically own it, if that's what you're asking.
Do you own at least the Strip?
Technically, a stripper.
Okay.
You
all right.
A stripper?
No.
Close.
No, I didn't. This was not. Vegas was not kind to me.
Oh. I thought you just tell them how much you need and they hand it over. I thought.
No. Vegas said, "Look at the flowers." That's what happened to me.
I see.
So that was not a fun time.
All right.
That part of it.
So he needs the job. That's correct.
Yeah, that's why he's here.
Correct. Hey, real quick, I thought this was interesting, and I wanted to put it on the record in case we need a phone topic one of these days, because I think it's fascinating the memorabilia that people own. Like, you know, somebody owns somebody's Super Bowl ring, for instance.
Right.
Or an Oscar. Well, this is kind of like that. This is a South American pawn shop. Somebody found a Nobel Peace Prize from 1936.
Really?
It's only the second one that has ever come to auction. It doesn't say how much he paid for it in the pawn shop, which I think would be vital information to make this story better.
Wouldn't it be awesome, though, to have him arguing over it? Yeah, but I don't know if it's real. I'll give you $19 for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if he bought it crazy low or if the pawn shop guy had any idea what it was or if he just looked at it as, you know, some sort of a prop or something that somebody made
Is it a trophy? I don't know that I've ever seen one.
It's a medal, basically.
Metal.
It's a big round medal that looks like it's about the size of like a drink coaster or something like that. But it's engraved. It's got Nobel's face on it. It's got some writing in Latin around it. Well, anyway, he took it to auction and it ended up selling for $950,000.
Wow.
That's how much he got for it, $950,000. Would you, if you saw, I mean, I guess maybe you'd buy it with the same thought in mind that he had, which is I could sell this to some other sucker. But for yourself, would you at all be interested in owning somebody's Nobel Peace Prize?
Depends on whose it was.
I don't know.
If I had a lot of money.
I think because of the absurdity of it, yeah, I would.
Oh, for funny?
Yeah, I mean, I think having a Nobel Peace Prize for somebody like me would be funny.
You could use it to settle any argument.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, well, Nobel Peace Prize.
That's true. I hadn't thought about the comedy angle of it.
Yeah.
Lisa, when you say it depends whose it was, I suspect you mean if it was somebody you'd heard of from the last 25 years, yes. You might have some respect for it. But
which
otherwise,
probably not the case, yeah. Because most of those people, they're economists or you've never heard of
right.
them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, President Obama's might be fun to have.
That would be cool.
But this was from 1936, and I'm certain it was Argentina's foreign minister had won it.
Oh.
So not much interest there. But I think it would be neat to talk to people maybe one day on the show who own crazy collectibles, because there are people out there, you know, who own movie memorabilia or sports memorabilia or things like that, and find out what the coolest thing is that we could find.
Yeah, definitely.
And then auction it off? Have them
no,
give it to
just
us?
Find out, you know, what it's like, if it's how cool it is to have something like that. Is it cool at all? How much, where did they find it? How much did they pay for it? Do people believe it's real? You know,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
My question is, do people believe it's real? Because I always think I'm not the type that buys that kind of stuff. But if I did, you'd think you'd be going, yeah, well, no, seriously, this is a rock from the moon.
Right.
No, I mean it. You have to tell them how much you paid for it. I mean, it seems like you spend the rest of your life trying to convince them it was real.
Yeah.
I promise it's Kurt Cobain's sweat in a
right.
jar. Honest.
Right, exactly. So I don't know I'm not up for that kind of thing, but Nobel Peace Prize, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe you could hang it around that monkey's neck that you have at home. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool, right. Or I'd wear it to every bar. Just go, Peace Prize, who wants to buy me a drink? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee Show, shall we?
I'd like to apologize to our listeners for my co-host's sudden and violent outburst just now.
Ireland needs sheep for shearing Olympics. Help me with that one.
Well,
a shearing Olympics.
There is a shearing Olympics, and apparently Ireland is desperately short of sheep. They are they need over 1,000 sheep that they're going to have to import in order to hold the annual festival.
Are we a fans of this festival or what?
What? I don't know why you need so many sheep. I guess you just have that many people participating. I've been to shearing festivals, by the way.
Of course you have.
And it is crazy how fast they shear sheep. It really is. But I guess you need a lot of them to keep that assembly line going. So we're going to find out more about it.
All right. Harvey Levin. I'm sorry. Dax Holt from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to Robert Kirkman today.
Oh, yes, we are.
About last night's Walking Dead. Season 4 is over. Now we have to wait till, what is it, October?
October, yeah.
For season 5. So we're going to talk to Robert Kirkman and find out exactly what's going on. Well,
yeah,
we're not going to find out.
We won't find out
on,
a damn thing.
We'll ask a lot of questions and he'll say he can't tell us.
Yeah.
You found out something shocking about your best friend?
This is an amazing story, Kevin. I can't wait to tell you about what Eddie Ift found out about his best friend of 8 years that rocked his world.
That just didn't jive with anything else he knew about that person?
Yep.
We're going to play like Lisa. We're giving away tickets for April Foolishness, which is this Saturday.
Yes, it is.
In the party bus section. No party bus included, but that's the section right up front. Andrew Siciliano will be here talking about the Final Four and about how they're changing some of the NFL rules, mm-hmm. one of which to reflect Adam Carolla's longtime rants, which is to put the goalpost higher. They're actually doing it. This is scaring me. People are starting to pay attention to Adam Carolla.
That's not right.
It's a little weird. And we're going to tell you about a Kickstarter called Little Rockers Kickstarter. And it's about midgets in bands.
These are little people who are in tribute bands. They're, they're everybody. They're Minnie Van Halen. They're Small & Oates. They're Wee Wee Top. I mean, they just can do it all. And I think they're trying to make a TV series. And they sound awesome. I want to go see this band.
Yeah, I would go. Is it just one band or is it a bunch of different ones?
It's one band that plays, you know, everybody's music.
Oh,
I think they dress up however
they need to
right.
dress up.
They do a little Aussie. They do. Iron Midget. I think they have that going. I mean, they can do it all. They're immensely talented.
I'm in on that. I love me some midgets. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a showbiz beat. That's head. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
What's happening? What's going on with Carmen? Oh, he's singing along. I got you. All right. Hey, Ralph, how was your weekend, man?
I was busy.
Is that good?
Was it busy?
Mm-hmm. I want to thank Friday night we did Hollywood Babylon in Brea, California. I want to thank all the Kevin and Bean listeners who came out to that show on Friday night. It was awesome, considering that many of them had to stand in line through an earthquake in order to watch the show.
Mm.
because we were in Brea, California, which was the epicenter of the earthquake. And yet they showed up in droves for the 10 o'clock show. So we were thankful and impressed. And as always, a ton of Kevin and Bean listeners were down there. And we're in Irvine this weekend and then Ontario the next weekend. And all the shows are already sold out. So thanks to everybody.
It's a world tour.
It is. It's a little mini SoCal tour, but we're having a blast doing it. So it was very cool to meet all those people on Friday night. And then Saturday, hell's bells. What did I do Saturday? I don't know. It was busy. Then last night, the wife and I went out for dinner and a movie and finally got around to seeing Bad Words with Jason Bateman.
Did you like it?
Oh, I loved that film. Yeah. He's so great.
He's, he is fantastic.
Everything that he does. And he also directed that film that I enjoyed enormously. So it was a good weekend overall. And speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office like we do every Monday morning. Noah, The Hand of God, came down and made it number one this weekend. Noah. See it, Kevin?
I did not see Noah.
It's full of loud God stuff.
Yeah.
Potter boat. Had a potter boat with all two of every animal in the potter boat.
I wish I would have seen Noah.
Oh, what'd you see instead?
Instead of what I saw.
What'd you see?
I'll tell you when you get to it.
Oh. I think we know. I guarantee it's Sabotage. I guarantee that.
Sabotage.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, you went to see Sabotage?
I did, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
A lot, apparently, because...
It's the cartel. We have to stop the cartel. What's a cartel?
It was bad, and he was unwatchable.
Well, he's awful. He's an awful actor.
Yeah.
We were all... There was a mass hypnosis in the 80s where we all thought for some reason he could be in movies.
Yep.
And now we've snapped out of it.
Yeah, it is weird because you're watching him now and you just go, no. Uh-uh.
And
no.
It's the same performance he gave 20 years ago.
Why did we fall for it the first time?
I have no idea.
All right.
We were dazzled by his muscles.
Yep.
Did it have something to do with we saw him as a real person for all those years that he was out of movies?
Maybe.
In the governor's mansion and now he's not so funny anymore?
Maybe, but all the other actors were fine. It was he stood out like a sore thumb.
I thought it was a good plot point, too, by the way. I thought the storyline was pretty cool.
It wasn't bad, but he was.
It could happen to anybody who was fighting the cartel.
I believe that's cartel.
With our families through the cartel.
Right.
as I mentioned, Noah was number one with $44 million at the box office.
Sabotage, number two?
No. It turns out Divergent still having a big box office success story, $26.5 million. Muppets Most Wanted was third. Peabody and Sherman was fourth. God's Not Dead, still hanging in the top five.
And then Sabotage.
Between God and Noah, man. God just owns the box office these days. So writing a God movie next. The Grand Budapest Hotel was sixth. Then the Sabotage with the cartel was seventh.
How much?
$5.3 million.
Yeah.
Need for Speed, eighth. 300, Rise of an Empire was ninth. And Nonstop, rounding out your top 10 at
the is Frozen finally out of the top 10?
Just dropped out this weekend, but that's okay because now it is the top grossing animated film of all time.
Yay! Not bad.
Did well enough this weekend just to push it over the top past Toy Story 3. Film also moved into the top 10 spot of all time best selling movies worldwide, pulling in $1.07 billion. Excuse me.
Bless you.
$1 billion. That's Billion with a B. Also won the Oscar for Best Animated Film this year. So
it's doing okay? We shouldn't feel bad for it?
It's a frozen world. It's a frozen world.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she was starring in it. Noah, by the way, a lot of God-fearers went to see Noah. $44 million. God Is Not Dead, also in the top five. Proof over the weekend, by the way, there is no God. I don't know if they got the news or not. Sure sold me. There was a gentleman getting baptized in the surf off of Santa Barbara over the weekend. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
No.
He's getting baptized.
Okay.
Getting, communing with the Lord when a giant wave pulled him out to sea and drowned him.
Yay!
I think if there's one time you'd be safe.
Right.
From a giant wave pulling you out into the surf and drowning you, it would be when you were getting baptized.
That's a horrible
If God
story.
Was really pulling the strings, don't you think that guy would have been off the hook for the drowning, for the whole drowning?
That's a horrible, horrible story that comes around that's really sort of kind of funny. I mean, I'm sorry. You're out there getting baptized.
Yeah.
And God goes, nope.
No.
Not so much for you. I think
not only are you not welcome in my kingdom,
right?
But you're going there now.
25 people, I think, went out. 24 came back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Congratulations to AJ McCarron, University of Alabama quarterback. He is getting married to that Catherine Webb, Miss Alabama, wow. His girlfriend. I didn't think that was going to last.
Neither did I. Well done.
They are. He put a ring on it, and now they're going to be happily ever after.
I hope Brent is doing the ceremony.
Brent Musburger's made the best man.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She's a lovely, lovely lady. Not faring so well is Nikki Reed, star of Twilight, and her American Idol Season 10 finalist husband, Paul McDonald. After 2 years of marriage, they're splitting up. Or getting consciously uncoupled, I guess I should say. Just like Gwyneth and Chris. Speaking of Gwyneth Paltrow. Great story in Star Magazine about what a nightmare she is at a restaurant. People were observing her. They said they took her 15 minutes to order
what
food because of the ridiculous series of questions she was putting the waiter through while she was ordering. Can you imagine what she's asking about gluten and what kinds of oils and how was the olive pressed in order to get the oil out of it and what kind of shoes are you wearing? Oh, I can't imagine. And then when the food was delivered, she took photographs of all of her food before she would eat anything.
Well, Instagram.
Got to put it on her blog, yeah.
Got to goop it, right?
Got to goop it.
Goop it. I was thinking about, you know, I love Los Angeles. I've made it my adopted home, and I've spent many happy years here. But there are some L.A.-ish aspects of it that just are infuriating. Like my wife and I at the theater last night. We're standing in line, and it was crowded. I was surprised how many people were out on a Sunday night watching a movie. And there weren't enough people to take care of us, so we were standing in the concession line, which was considerable, and we get to our next in line. There's people just ahead of us, and the woman ahead of us demanded on a sample of the popcorn so she could taste it to see whether she wanted to get the popcorn or not.
Really?
So they give her a little tiny cup with a couple kernels in it, and she's sitting there tasting the popcorn.
Oh, my God.
Let me see. Well, that's the... I guess... okay, all right, yes, I guess I will. I guess I will.
Wow.
You're tasting popcorn?! It's popcorn!
Wow.
You eat it or you don't eat it at the movies. You don't have to taste the popcorn. It's not a bottle of Merlot. You don't get a popcorn tasting when there's people behind you rushing to get into the theater.
Oh, f*** you.
What's her food website? Do we know, Ralph?
I've never heard of that. That's so bizarre. Trying the popcorn.
Let me have a taste before I order.
It's baffling.
Yeah. That's why they won't give me a gun, man. Why?
Well, they're doing the right thing.
Yes, they are. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Walken. Ow! 71 years old today. Rhea Perlman, 66 years old. Al Gore is 66. Angus Young of AC/DC is 59 years old. Ewan McGregor. He's 43. How great, Ewan McGregor.
I love him.
Every time I see him at something, I'm like, oh, you know what? I know I'm going to enjoy it because he's in it.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
He does have a wooden hand, yes. Jack Antonoff, guitarist of Fun, is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we catch up with the TMZ newsroom. And before we go to Dax Holt on the phone, Kevin, a couple of Fridays ago here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space, little concert venue we have in the back of the building, Kings Leon was here.
Yep.
Love that, Ben. You weren't here.
I was not.
I wasn't here. Dax Holt was in the room. Did you hear who else showed up for that, Kevin? Did you hear who else was in the building and was hanging out in the Kevin and Bean Morning Show office waiting for the thing to start?
No.
Well,
President Obama?
One of the Kings of Leon is married to Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge, as you know. And she brought her good friend Alexandra Ambrosia with her. Dax, and I think they might have had a couple of other Victoria's Secret models with them. Dax, did you see the girls that night?
I did. You know, I was hanging out in the office with Christine, and Lily was in there, and she was just sitting there.
Come on!
She was just sitting there chatting, and she goes like this. She goes, oh, hey, my friend's here, so I'm just going to go out front and grab her. Didn't say the name, comes back walking in with Alessandro Ambrosio. Oh, and we're
what?
Like, what?
What?
What is going on?
The King of Mexico's head must have exploded.
Oh, my God. It was great.
What?
How, not that I care, but just to pretend, how were the Kings of Leon? Okay, thanks, Dax. Appreciate that update.
You know why? Because my angle, I was sitting there, like, kind of towards the front, and I could see them, and then I could see the hot models.
That's the most important thing, right? Yeah.
So that's what was going on in our office while neither one of us were there.
Wow.
But I was sure to rub it in on Twitter for you guys.
You know how to, you know how to hurt a guy.
Hey, a lot going on in the TMZ newsroom. I want to ask about what you know about Gwyneth and Chris Martin from Coldplay, because you have a very interesting angle at the top of TMZ.com right now, Dax, about why this divorce seems so amicable.
Oh, it's going to be a very peaceful divorce. Basically, the way they're looking at it is, if they turn it into a nasty divorce, they're going to have to start writing up all these legal docs, and in the legal docs, there's going to be a bunch of allegations on what happened in the marriage, why it went south, and then it turns into a PR nightmare. So they've decided, we're going to make this peaceful. We're going to try to, you know, not have to file anything, because apparently they've got some skeletons in their closet that they don't want out. There's been media reports saying that they strayed from their marriage and other issues, and as long as they don't have to write that stuff down, and even if they're allegations, the second that they're out there, it's just bad PR.
Right.
So they don't want to fight about money. They don't want to fight about child custody. They don't want to fight over anything. They just want to go their separate ways and get this done with.
Is it possible that Chris Martin finally saw Goop.com? Is that because that's grounds,
like,
right?
Oh, this is what you've been doing all these years.
Yeah.
Ah, God, terrible stuff.
Do you have any? Do you have any proof that either of them were unfaithful to the other?
No, you know, I don't feel like there's proof. I think there was some kind of bizarre photos that came out a couple months ago of Gwyneth Paltrow. I think it was at a Dodgers game, and she was close and cuddly with one of her exes, Donovan, and they were, like, kissing, but it could have been a high kind of kiss or a this is a little bit more than that kind of kiss. And so people thought it was strange then, but there wasn't any rumors of them separating back then. So I think it just kind of went over everyone's head. And now looking back, you go, that's a little weird that you're kissing your ex.
Here's my question about that. Alessandro Ambrosio was in our office.
All right, Dax, let's talk about what has the potential to a story that has potential to end up in a very downward spiral. And that's what's going on with Zac Efron, because usually you can count on your friends getting around you and going, hey, buddy, you've got a problem. You need help. Doesn't sound like that's the direction Zac's going with these alleged drug problems, right?
No, his friends are, you know, anytime a friend comes up to him and says, hey, bud, we need to talk about this. You've got issues. He apparently will ignore them. And 86 him from his life. Doesn't want them around, doesn't want anyone sitting there telling him what he's doing is inappropriate or wrong. And you know what we also found out a bit is the two rehab stints that he apparently went to, not full rehab stints. They were like hanging out at a friend's house outside of California.
I knew that. That's not rehab.
Like in-home therapy. And so his friends are going, that wasn't good enough. You need to go to rehab, or this is going to end up like a Corey Monteith type story if you don't get yourself some help. And I think a lot of people are really worried after the fight that happened last Sunday at 12:30 in the morning of him down in downtown L.A. with the convicted drug dealer, fighting with people in the streets under a bridge. I mean, all of this stuff kind of matches up to, that sounds like a drug deal gone bad. And his friends are really worried about him.
Yeah, no, and they should be. And by the way, you've been covering celebrities for a long time in this town, Dax. Who has to go out himself and get his drugs? Doesn't Zac have people he can send? Aren't there delivery services?
I'm like, get on the Charlie Sheen bandwagon, have it delivered to your house or something. What are you doing,
dude? That is weird. Come on. It is crazy, and his stories just didn't hold up about how he ran out of gas and he was in that part of town looking for sushi. I mean, the whole thing just stopped, didn't it?
Sense. And then his broken jaw story. Remember that one?
Yes.
Slipping on a puddle of water in his house and breaking his jaw. A lot of his stories just don't really match up.
Yeah, you'll listen to it and you go, you know what? No. That didn't happen, whatever you're saying.
And finally, in our remaining moments, I didn't know anything about this until I saw it on the TMZ this morning, but what is going on with our friend Brandon Boyd from Incubus?
So there is a reality star from the real world. Her name is Svetlana. She was on the Real World 17 Key West. Well, she got a temporary restraining order against him, saying that he's been stalking her for years and that she was driving on the freeway, and apparently he pulled up next to her and yelled through the window that he was going to kill her, and that she moved to a friend's house to get away from him, but he keeps showing up. So she got a temporary restraining order for him to stay 100 yards away from him or from her. And we called his people, and they were like, this is all news to him. He doesn't know anything about this. He doesn't know this person, nor has he ever recalled having met her.
Yeah, you know, we've met Brandon several times, and of course we don't know him, but that does not sound anything.
No,
like
that's what
know.
I was thinking. Yeah. I don't picture him driving down the freeway.
Not at all.
Stalking someone, screaming he's going to kill her, but, I mean, stranger things have happened.
Lisa, you would be so disappointed if Brandon finally decided to get into the stalking business and it wasn't you, wouldn't you?
I know. I mean, I've given him so many hints. He knows where I live. He has my number.
I don't think
he knows
you get into
the code to
stalking
my
business.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen Lisa accidentally drop her house keys into his bag. It's just
happens.
It's kind of embarrassing. All right. Well, good stuff always over there on TMZ.com. And don't forget the fine array of Fox Television TMZ programs, including TMZ Live airing at 4 p.m. and then at 6 o'clock you got the TMZ Old School and then TMZ Sports airing weekends at midnight, all on Fox Channel 11. Dax, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Time is running out. If you want to join us this Saturday night at the Shrine, we are bringing Kevin Beans to April Foolishness 2014 to that location. Jim Jeffries and Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie F., Taylor Williamson. Our friend Mike Realm is doing the in-house house music. He's really a VJ, and he's incredible. It'd be worth paying to go see him. He's so fun. You can still buy your tickets. Go to Ticketmaster.com. You also can win the Party Bus Section tickets with a VIP reception with Kevin and Bean, a limited edition Party Bus Section show T-shirt, and VIP parking. Give you a chance to win all that coming up later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
When did we find out that sheep shearing was a competition that 38 countries compete in?
Well, you're talking about the Olympics of sheep shearing, the Golden Shears World Championship, this year being held in Ireland for the first time since 1998, Kevin. So it's apparently a big honor, a big thrill when it's your turn to host. This is an event that I think started down in New Zealand, and over 30,000 spectators are expected to show up
what
to watch people shear
sheep. About?
That's insane.
Donegal's own Ivan Scott of Ireland. He's the 7-time All-Ireland winner and current world record holder. And it would be such a thrill for him and his legion of fans if he could win the world championship right there on home soil, wouldn't it?
Oh, they'd go crazy. Man, that would be something.
Well, there's a little bit of a controversy this year, Kevin. It's a real concern because, you know, you're holding that many people, shearing that many sheep. Eventually you might run out of sheep.
Right.
Then what do you do?
I don't know. I've never considered this.
Well, they need 6,000 sheep as a host of the Golden Shears World Championship this year, but they're more than 1,000 short, and they only have, I think the event starts May 17th, I want to say. So we don't know what they're going to do about this. I mean, do you literally fly in sheep or load up sheep from other parts of the UK and bring them up to Ireland? I don't know what you do. But we asked producer Dave if he could line somebody up to talk about this. And Kieran Dennison is on the line from the Golden Shears World Championship. He joins us on the phone from Ireland. Hello there, sir.
Good morning, boys. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I want to say I appreciate you playing the Scottish bagpipe music behind before you got to me.
because you're in Ireland?
I'm Irish, you see.
Right.
We're not really that far, you know, the bagpipe isn't that such a popular instrument here.
It's the same thing.
No, it really isn't.
Okay. Really, but in America, Ireland, Scotland, Norway, it's all the same.
Yeah, we understand, sure.
Well, listen, I'm very concerned for the Shearing Olympics. I mean, you don't want Ireland to look bad. You're holding the Olympics of sheep shearing in there, and if you can't come up with enough sheep, then what?
Oh, sure, it is. It's a bit of embarrassment if you have the the Olympics of sheep shearing here in Ireland, and then we don't have enough sheep for the for the events.
Right.
So it's a concern. We're about 1,000 sheep short.
And how do you plan on making that up?
Well, we're asking people to send sheep.
How do they do that?
Sheep. If you have a shaggy sheep, that needs a good shearing.
Right.
If you need a shearing shaggy sheep,
right,
then send it along.
Right.
Just crate it up. Slap Ireland on the side of it and just mail it to us.
You want us to mail you sheep?
Well, how are you going to get them here? I mean, you can bring them yourself, but you have to buy an extra seat on the plane if you want to bring a sheep. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it sounds like maybe one sheep at a time is not going to fulfill the need. I mean,
need... Or if 1,000 people send us one sheep.
Well, I guess technically, yeah, I guess
every
that.
Every journey starts with a single step, okay?
I have heard that, yes.
All Irish saying is step one... Far go, step two, drink.
All right. That's quite a saying.
I think so too, yes.
That's on the money, right? Haven't I seen that on your coins there in Ireland?
It is, Sam. We used to be. Now we're in the euro.
Oh, that's right. Get the euro. I don't know anything about your damn country, Karen.
Let's play some more and talk about our money some more, why don't you?
So you're the ones who like England. That's you, right?
No, we're so much not so much with them.
Not so much. Okay, that's
right. We like to be our own country.
You like sheep.
We do love sheep, though. Right. We love sharing them, especially at the Olympics.
Right.
But we have so many events at the Sharon Olympics that we need the sheep for, of course. We need for the sheep luge, where you get on top of a sheep and you fly down a hill.
Oh, I didn't know there were other things besides shearing.
It's the sheep Olympics, you know.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There's sheep curling.
Sheep curling.
I can't imagine how that would work.
You throw a sheep down a sheet of ice, and then you take a broom in front of it and try to get the sheep into the center circle.
Right.
There's a sheep biathlon. Well, you have to shoot a sheep while you're shearing a sheep.
Oh, that's terrible.
We shoot a sheep and shear a sheep. It's what we say. It's an old Irish saying.
It's supposed to be shear a sheep.
Drink.
But it's so why do all of your expressions end with drink, Kieran?
Why do you? You know nothing about Ireland. You play bagpipes, and then you don't know that we like to drink. What do you expect? We like to drink.
I'm concerned about shooting the sheep, though. Isn't it supposed to be a family event? That could be very traumatizing for the kids, not to mention for the sheep themselves.
No, it is a family event. The entire family gets a gun, and you get to shoot the sheep.
Wow.
And that may be why we're a little short on sheep.
Yeah.
It's because we keep shooting them.
Well, yeah.
Maybe paintballs will be used this year. But if you're going to send us a sheep, please make sure that it's in need of a good shearing.
Okay.
So we need a shaggy sheep.
Right.
And make sure that the sheeps are attractive. We like attractive sheep.
Attractive?
What do you mean attractive?
A nice round, firm bottom.
But isn't it
a nice hourglass shape to her?
Don't you just shear her? Don't you just cut up?
We shear the sheep and get it all naked. That's what we do.
That's why you're short sheep.
And when that sheep is all naked, then you get a little bit of lipstick and you put it right there on the old sheep lip.
Okay. All right.
Did you ever set a sheep lip to your
okay.
Ralph can't stop keeping beat after in high school. What was it? Revolution? What was the band?
Revolver. Like you don't have all our albums.
Like you have an album.
The heck we don't.
Hey, Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Andrew Siciliano joins us later on in the program. A lot of good sports stuff to talk to him about, including the return of baseball, ladies and gentlemen. How about that?
Ralph, I heard this sentence about a half hour ago. If the season ended today... I'm so tired of that.
He needs a drone strike.
By the way, that was Dave.
That was the King of Mexico.
That was Dave talking about how the Dodgers are 2-1. My season hasn't started yet. That'll be today. But it's such a happy day for so many millions of us Americans who are baseball fans. It's so great when spring comes around and it's baseball time.
I spent a bunch of time in Phoenix as well on my vacation. I was thinking to myself, wow, I wish I liked baseball.
There's all about baseball.
So many teams there, spring training. Yeah, just everywhere. Didn't care.
Yeah.
I wish they did, but I didn't.
That's why they do it in Phoenix.
Because people don't care.
Yeah, people don't care.
or they do it because the weather's good there, Ralph.
Or they put it in a city where people care about it.
Andrew Siciliano will be joining us also. Robert Kirkman next hour talking about last night's finale for season 4 of The Walking Dead. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Noah. America said, yes, sir.
Yay!
And they all went. To the movie theaters, $44 million dollars made it number 1 at the box office by a long shot. Behind that was Divergent, $26.5 million, still doing very well for itself. Then Muppets Most Wanted with a little over $11 million. Mr. Peabody and Sherman and God's Not Dead rounding out the top 5. The Grand Budapest Hotel was 6th. Sabotage. Kevin's favorite movie of the weekend was 7th with $5.3 million. Need for Speed. You say, oh, it's terrible. Like, you went in thinking, I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be a great film. How could you be disappointed when you found out it was terrible?
Some films that are action films, at least the action is great.
Right.
And continuous, and you can ignore the storyline.
There's a ton of action films even to choose from. You could try to choose the best from that.
I had high hopes.
Heard?
I had hopes.
You had hopes.
They were
dashed. Kevin, have you seen Grand Budapest yet?
No, I have not.
Then how could you go see Sabotage?
Because it's loud.
You haven't seen Grand Budapest yet. How is that not on the tops of your list?
I come back from Vegas and a loud movie wake up me for half wake.
What he said.
Need for Speed was 8th. 300, Rise of an Empire, and Nonstop, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sad news over the weekend. Lorenzo Semple Jr. passed away. Some of you may be asking, who's Lorenzo Semple Jr.? Oh, just the guy who created the 1960s TV series Batman. That's all he did.
Okay.
Okay, indeed. He also was a great screenwriter, wrote films like Papillon, The Drowning Pool, King Kong, Flash Gordon. Passed away at the age of 91 on Friday after turning 91 on Thursday.
Wow.
I guess 91 was it for him. That was going to be...
hang around for the party.
As far as he went. The Juno Awards were given out over the weekend.
I'm sorry, Lisa, what are they called?
Juno. Thank you.
That applause comes easily these days.
The Juno Awards are Canada's biggest music awards show. And for the fourth straight year in a row, Justin Bieber won the Juno Fan Choice Award. However, the reaction was not similar to his previous three wins. The entire crowd started hissing and booing when his name was announced in his home country of Canada.
Love it.
Sadly, Justin was not there to hear their catcalls and jeers. He was not there to accept the award. But he did tweet, "We won Juno Fan Choice for fourth year in a row. Love to all my believers. Thank you. Love you." They all booed you.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's happening.
Apparently, someone named Serena Ryder.
Yes, she's very good.
Accepted the Songwriter of the Year Juno Award. And when she got up on stage, she defended Justin, saying, "I really think that Justin Bieber's an amazing musician. He deserved every bit of that award because he's been working his ass off for his entire life. He's 8! We need to support how awesome he is." Okay.
Boo!
Boo! All right, Serena Ryder, you're on the list. You're on the list. This came as welcome news. This year will be the final season for the Chelsea Handler show, Chelsea Lately, on E!
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. She has announced once her contract is up with E!, she will no longer be doing that show for them.
So that means Hollywood Babylon is also going away, because what's the point of existing if you can't make fun of Chelsea Handler?
Oh, well, I don't think she's going to go away, because her manager talked to the Hollywood Reporter and said, "We've got at least 7 other offers. We're going to move the show someplace else. We're going to launch a new show." So she's not going to go anywhere, but hopefully she will fail.
What's the point of that, Ruff? Her show's very successful on E!
She's been bitching about E! Forever. They don't pay her enough, and she doesn't like the working conditions, and she doesn't like the people who run E!, and she's just been bitching her whole career there. So apparently she's moving on, and so are they. My precious, precious hope is she gets like a daytime talk show or something, or a sitcom or something that just fails miserably. Then we can all point and go, "Ha ha." So let's see what's in the offing. And Shirley Jones, remember her? The mom from the Partridge Family?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Sure. She's turning 80 years old today.
Academy Award winner, if I recall.
Yeah, she's 80 years old. She has announced that she is going skydiving to celebrate the occasion.
Skydiving.
An 80-year-old skydiver. "Something I've wanted to do my whole life," she said. She will go in a tandem jump today with an instructor. And she said when she told her son, Sean Cassidy, he asked, "Mom, what's the matter with you?" Which I think is a fair question.
That's a good question.
So she's going to prove how alive she is by jumping out of a plane.
Didn't President George H.W. Bush skydive at 90, if I recall correctly?
85. He was 85. 85,
okay.
Yeah.
So what's with the old people?
Guess, good question.
I guess you feel very alive when you're plummeting to Earth. However, she really wanted to live dangerously, she could let her son David Cassidy drive her somewhere. that would put some adrenaline in your blood behind the wheel with Dave. And you know how seriously I take The Bachelor.
Oh, yes, we do.
I know you guys think
it's unfortunate, but
I am too fervent about my interest in The Bachelor.
Right.
I would say it pales in comparison to some Bachelor fans.
Sure.
Like, for example, the woman this weekend who saw Juan Pablo at the Harrah's Resort in Atlantic City. He was there at a lounge, and she walked up to him and threw her drink in his face.
Oh, nice.
Calling him an effing douchebag. Security guards descended upon the woman who they drug her from the area. but apparently she was screaming and yelling and threw a drink in his face when she spotted him at the lounge. So that's some bachelor passion right wow. there.
That's also an appropriate response to seeing Juan Pablo in person.
He's okay. He's okay. He's okay.
He was fine with it?
He's fine. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jack Antonoff of Fun. He's the guitarist for that band.
He's the one who's with Lena Dunham, right? They're the happy, happy couple.
Okay.
All right. I think so.
Don't know.
It's her boyfriend.
Open up a blog.
Everybody's shrugging here, if you say so.
Yeah.
He also has a wooden hand, I think, Jack Antonoff.
I've heard that. I've heard that's actually true.
30 years old today. Ewan McGregor is 43. Angus Young of ACD Mother Effin' C. He's 59 years old today. We got to get a little AC/DC on the show today,
yeah.
right? We got a little Rock Me All Night Long or Dirty Deeds or something. Come on now.
I'm with you.
Al Gore is 66 years old. He still thinks there's global trouble. What a dope. Rhea Perlman, 66. And actor Christopher Walken celebrates his 71st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Patricia Molino from, let's see, Buena Park.
Okay.
Gets a concert with the band The Neighborhood.
Nice.
What? At her house.
So The Neighborhood is coming to her neighborhood, basically.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. And she gets to invite some friends. They're doing it at the house. They're going to trash it, burn the place down. That's what I hear.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. Absolutely. So
see, we really do give this stuff away that we talk about. I know it sounds like we always claim there's a grand prize, but there really is a winner. So if that person whose name we just read exists, then we are not liars. Hey, you can listen to K-Rock all this week to win tickets to see the Arctic Monkeys at Staples Center. They're coming August 7th. We're giving away tickets all week in the first five rows. Today, it's row number five, the fifth row. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You can get details at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win them coming up two more times this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. So, Kevin, you were not here on Friday. You were out on vacation
right.
last week. Welcome back, first of all.
Thank
Everybody
you.
Missed you.
I'm sure they did.
Nobody enjoys a monkey-free show, I will tell you. But we had an interesting conversation off the air with our friend Eddie F. You know Eddie. We love
sure,
Eddie.
He's the best.
He's playing April Foolishness. We'll see him again on Saturday. So he was in here on Friday, and we were catching up, you know, and he was telling us that about a friend of his who's his best friend from when he was a kid. Or close to it, you know, early teens, something like that they met. 8 years after they were best friends, he found out something so shocking about his friend that it changed everything.
8 years later.
Yeah.
8 years they were best friends, and he did not know. And by the way, we're going to take your calls. I'll tell you what Eddie found out about his friend that just blew his mind. We're going to take your calls this morning. We thought this might be an interesting jumping off point to hear the stories of things that have happened to you. Friends or family members or, you know, husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends that you didn't know something about that was a surprise to you.
Huge.
Huge surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've been in jail. I used to be a member of the opposite sex. I killed a man. Those sorts of things that you just never would have crossed your mind that would have been in this person's past. And Lisa, you were there in the room with me. You saw the surprise on Eddie's face. All these years later, he was telling us the story.
Yeah.
He was best friends with this guy for 8 years. And then one day was reading an article in the New York Times where he found out that his best friend was worth $10 billion.
What? Yeah, and the guy drove like a normal
beater
car. He was kind of cheap. Eddie said, I picked up a lot of tabs eating with that guy.
Wow.
He had no idea.
How does it not accidentally work its way into your life or conversation?
I think the downside of people knowing that is so big. Like, you learn throughout your life not to tell anybody.
It?
Yeah.
That makes sense, Lisa. That's an excellent point. Because the first question I asked is, weren't there any giveaways
right.
with the car, with the watch, with the kind of travel he was doing? And he said, absolutely not. Lisa mentioned the car. He just had a regular watch. He was just flying regular planes. You know, his family had tons of private planes.
What a waste. Give me that money. I'll use it.
Well, Eddie certainly hit him up after he found out.
Wow.
But Eddie said that this guy, yeah, was cheap, too. He said he always appeared to just barely be getting by, and Eddie oftentimes, most of the time, would be picking up the tabs for things because he looked over at his little friend there, you know, with patches on his coat sleeves, and thought, "Well, I better treat you for this one." Not just, "Hey, turns out my friend's pretty well off." His friend is worth $10 billion, and he read about it in the New York Times, and he called up his friend and he said, "What up?"
That's so bizarre, and it's not like he was. I can understand hiding it from most people. But this was, you said, yes. Best friend.
It was a guy he went to college with. It was his friend. And Eddie started going to New York and hanging out with his friend and got to be really good friends with this guy. Huh. And like 8 years later. And I guess his friend from college didn't know either. He would have told him.
Isn't that interesting?
He may never have known if he didn't read it in the New York Times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very possible.
$10 billion.
Yeah, that's not just I'm doing okay.
Wow.
So we're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe it's a similar story where somebody was very, very wealthy. That's the fun surprise to find out, but there are a lot of other surprises maybe not so fun.
Those are the best though, too. We enjoy the bad ones.
Of course.
Makes us laugh.
We want to hear from you if you, some of those examples we gave you about jail or sex change or, I found out a friend of mine, for instance, a really good friend of mine, my wife's best friend, I found out a few years ago that she, for a number of years, lived in a cult.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she lived in a cult. Was one of those people. And eventually, she wised up. She and her husband, they were both living in the cult for several years, and they wised up and started to realize that things were hinky and it wasn't quite right and it didn't quite make sense to them anymore. And they literally, it was one of those stories where they escaped in the middle of the night because it was one of those deals where you weren't allowed to leave. And they had to plan an escape. They had to make a break for it.
That's bizarre.
That's something you don't expect to find out from a person in your
life.
But
you could also see why they wouldn't want to tell that story as well.
It's embarrassing to say you were in a cult.
Yeah.
It makes you sound very weak.
Yeah, I was a sucker.
Yeah, exactly.
But, the way they tell it, it was one of those deals where everything started off making so much sense. It was just super cool people. They were a little bit of a hippie couple anyway.
Sure.
It was just super cool people. And it was a very democratic way to live. And everybody kind of pulled their own weight. And it was a little bit idyllic, And then it turned out that, the person at the top was, had more and more power and was trying to sleep with more and more of the women.
Yeah, of course.
I think that was the way out when you start sleeping with all the women.
You're describing Terminus from last night.
Yes.
On The Walking Dead.
A little bit.
Bit of a shock. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
So excited. Our friend Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, joins us in about 15 minutes to talk about last night's season 4 finale on AMC. Very sad. No zombies in my life until October, by the way.
Yeah.
First, though, we're talking about not bad necessarily, but just shocking surprises among friends and family members. Our friend comedian Eddie Eft was here Friday, told us 8 years into a very close friendship with somebody, he found out that that person was worth $10 billion. Very different story than someone who emailed us on the topic. Dear Kevin and B, my childhood friend Sarah came over for the first time in 10 years last week. He now goes by Sean. So that was the kind of surprise. We were wondering if we would hear that story.
Sure.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Pat? He's on line 2 to get us going with surprises from friends and family.
Morning, Pat.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa Mack.
Good morning.
How long had you been friends with this person, first of all?
About 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
All right. And the other weekend, I'm over at the bar that we all go to and hang out in. It's our neighborhood bar in Fullerton. And my friend Jeremy, he walks in, except now he is Jessica.
Nice.
And, yeah, I mean, really nice legs. So that was a...
Is she hot? Did you nail her?
No, but the best part is my friend John had already pretty well drunk by the time Jessica walked in. And did make a pass, even though she does have the biggest Adam's apple in the world.
Now, wait, you're not talking about a sex change, though. This is a friend that you see regularly. You're talking about somebody who just you found out was cross-dressing, right?
Yeah. He's cross-dressing.
I gotcha.
And he comes. The weird part is I've seen him since, like, both ways. It's like knowing that Clark Kent is Superman at work and, like... What do you say?
Yeah. Hey, you really look good in that dress.
Yeah, or Jeremy, you just missed Jessica just by 5 minutes. What's up?
Wow.
Like,
yeah, that's a little shocking.
That was a pretty big shocker.
Yeah. It's a surprise, but no harm, no foul. So what is how I look at it. If it's fun for him, who cares, right?
Yeah. No, I'm fine with it, but definitely.
Yeah.
Been very funny. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Sherry or Cherie, whichever it is, on line 3 up next on the Kevin Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Lisa May.
Good morning.
It is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
How long did you know this person?
20 years.
Ooh, wow.
A long time, really good friends. We had worked together 3 times. She had actually hired me 3 times.
Okay.
The last time, small nonprofit. She was executive director. I was program director. comes into my office one day, closes the door, and I think, oh, my God, I'm in trouble.
I'm going to get fired.
Right. And she said, I just got to tell you, before the board comes in, they're going to fire me. I stole money. I said, what?
Wait, she was the executive director of it?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I my mouth is, I said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. She's like, yes, I did. She starts crying. I'm like, well, how much? $5,000? No. $10,000? No. I'm like, what? What? She said, I don't know. I don't know. 30, 40. I'm like, well, go calculate it. Anyway, it turns out well over $100,000.
Oh, my gosh. And is this from a nonprofit?
Yes.
Wow. That's why they weren't making any profit.
That's
yeah, I was wondering why I kept cutting my program and trying to save money because we didn't have any money. No, that's not why. Oh,
wow. So did she tell you this, like she said, because she didn't want you to hear about it from somebody else? But, I mean, was the deception about to be uncovered? Were the police on the way to arrest her or something?
No, it wasn't the police. It was the executive committee of the board of directors were on the way to confront her. They weren't quite sure. And she was just going to fess up to it.
You knew her for 20 years and had worked for her three different places.
Yes.
Where did all the money go?
Was she embezzling from all three places? Do you know?
No. No, she wouldn't have had the means to been able to do it at the prior two places.
Lisa had a great question. Was it evident what she was doing with the money? Was she showing up with cars that she couldn't explain or anything like that?
No. No. I mean, she was engaging in a hobby that's an expensive hobby, but
cocaine?
You know, I knew what her salary was, and it wasn't outrageous. No, I did not put two and two together. It just didn't occur, you know, never would have occurred to me.
Right.
No, of course not. Yeah, you don't expect somebody you know to be involved in something like that. All right, last question for you. I asked about the police. Did she eventually get arrested for it?
Eventually, because the organization really just wanted her to pay back the money, and that day, I forced her to empty her IRA, and I lent her money. In whatever she calculated, I thought, we're going to pay it back, like, today. But that was, like, 30-something thousand. It really turned out to be 100,000.
Wow.
And she didn't pay them back. So it was, like, a year and a half later, they finally pressed charges. And she actually, believe it or not, had to spend 1 week in jail.
That's it? I'd do that for 100 grand.
Sounds worth it. All right, Sherry, thanks so much for the call. Wow.
All right, guys, have a good
amazing
one.
Stuff. All right, Robert Kirkman talks Walking Dead. That's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour. He's from the NFL Network. We'll talk about some of the new rule changes coming to the NFL next season, also the return of baseball and what instant replay means for that sport, and, of course, look ahead toward the Final Four. But first, ladies and gentlemen, Walking Dead, you've been away.
Yeah.
It takes a minute to get back into the groove of things. Ladies and gentlemen, last night, the season finale of season 4 of The Walking Dead on AMC. How are we going to survive without that TV show until October? I bet the man on the phone would say, go out and buy lots of the books. I bet that's what Robert Kirk, that's the way to kind of get through the summer without the TV show. Hi, Robert. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Please run outside and buy all of the books.
So do you watch the show on Sunday nights on AMC, even though you've already seen it when it's done? But do you also sit down like the rest of us fans and watch it too, Robert?
I usually don't, I'll be honest, just because I've seen it like 9 times by the time it airs. But last night I did because my parents were in town and I had to, you got to watch this thing with your dad. That's a lot of fun.
What kind of criticism do they give you?
My daddy comments on it like I didn't, have a hand in writing it.
Right.
Like, oh, that was really neat. And, hey, that was really cool how they did that. It's like, sitting right here, Dad.
I'm part of the people who did that.
Exactly.
That's bizarre.
Well, it was, give me a little spoiler alert so make sure the word gets out.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we definitely, obviously we're having a conversation specifically about last night's show with Robert Kirkman. So if you haven't seen it yet, please go away and come back and listen to this conversation on the podcast after you've seen the episode. So it was a little bit of a rebirth of our man, Rick. He finally kind of got back in touch with the fighting side of him, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is really him stepping up in a big way and sort of, I feel, emerging as the guy who accepts his leadership role and is going to do whatever it takes. And, you know, it's definitely the complete opposite of how he began the season when he was trying to be this peace-loving, non-gun-carrying farmer.
Yeah, it's not a world to live in if you're just going to be a farmer. That's not the world that they inhabit anymore. Every season, there are a few
oh my God moments on The Walking Dead. And last night, Rick killing a man with his teeth had to be one of the most surprising things I've ever seen, not just on your show, but on any show. How long had you planned that, Robert?
Well, it was in issue 60 of the comic, which I think came, or 61, I don't even remember. So it's been coming for like 8 years or so, six years.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah.
He bites his Adam's apple out, and the guy bleeds out, basically. And it was pretty shocking. And it was a level of violence for a show that's pretty violent.
Yeah.
But could have been a little further. I don't know.
You think
it
would
like to have seen more neck.
Yeah, that's true. If they had taken the neck and then he'd reached right into his chest and pulled out his beating heart, that would have been good.
I saw Andrew Lincoln, of course, was making his appearance on The Talking Dead last night. And he was talking about filming that scene in the cold at 4:30 in the morning with raw chicken in his mouth. And he was like, ah, show business. Glamorous.
We treat our actors right.
Yes, you do. How old is Carl in this story now?
I would say that Carl is probably around 14, which is the same age as Chandler, the actor.
All right. So he should be thinking about how he's going to nail Michonne, right? I mean, that's part of growing up.
Don't spoil season 5.
Okay. No, that was some great stuff that they had on the episode last night about how Carl and Rick were both thinking about how they looked to the other person and could they be proud of each other and were they satisfied with who they'd become in the new world order? Because let's face it, you change when you go through what everybody in the world at that point has gone through, and sometimes you leave people behind with some of the choices you make, but it's kind of neat to see them still hanging together, still father and sending it out after all this time.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going through a lot, and they're seeing the changes in each other, and I think that it's making them a little bit more concerned about the changes that are going on within them, and they're definitely coming to a point where they don't know how they're going to interact around people in a peaceful environment. I mean, it's been a long time since they were living in that prison, and they're thinking, you know, I don't know if we can ever go back to that, which is a scary thought.
Yeah, so they finally reach Terminus, and they're cannibals?
Well, you know, they might be.
That's what I was thinking. Even before we saw this episode.
They might be cannibals.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems they're storing people in train cars. To me,
we knew it was too good to be true. Yeah. We certainly
did. They
got
lots of food to fry up.
Yep. They sure were frying up a lot of random meat.
Hey, have a big plate of meat.
Here's a piece of meat.
Very suspicious amount of time that they're spending around the grill.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like the biggest party ever to be hanging out in that train car in the dark just waiting to find out who's next, does it?
No. I imagine they're probably not enjoying themselves too much. But, you know, it's only going to be a 7-month gap, and then we'll see them again.
All right, so let me
hopefully
ask you,
they've got a deck of cards.
Let me ask you about that. I'm sure you're already into, you know, writing and doing season 5. How long is going to take place in between the seasons in your storyline?
I will say that we will see the ramifications of them being in that train car. There's not going to be any kind of time jump to where we would skip those events. But as far as how much time is going to be passing exactly and where we're going to be at, we'll have to keep that close to the vents for a little while longer.
This is the voice of our friend Robert Kirkman here on The Kevin Bean Show, creator, executive producer, and writer for The Walking Dead. Last night was its season 4 finale. If you're just joining us mid-conversation, spoiler alert, we are talking about last night's episode. I had a couple of big picture questions I wanted to ask you, Mr. Kirkman, and I know that you are loath to divulge anything important to us, but I want to ask you anyway. The guy, what's his name? Is it Eugene? Is he the doctor with the mullet that's running around with Abraham?
Yes, that's
okay.
Eugene.
Does he know what caused the apocalypse, or is he just talking out of his ass? Is there a reason he wants to get to DC that's legitimate or no?
He absolutely has a 100% legitimate reason to get to Washington, D.C. Whether or not it's what he said it is remains to be seen, but there is a purpose for what he's doing, and, you know, he's not entirely lying.
Okay.
And the other, entirely lying. I like
and the other question I had for you, and this is impossible for me to glean as a viewer who only sees tiny slices of people, but in the world that you've created, are there more humans or more walkers?
Definitely more walkers.
Yeah. Wow. So if you're a survivor, you're one of the lucky few then.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's why they don't run into people too terribly much. But you know, it is a highly populated area. And, but yeah, I mean, there's way more walkers out there than there are people. So it's
there are,
really
but
dangerous.
but let's be honest. Now you could be eaten by a person that hasn't changed. If they're actually cannibals at Turnibus, now you're getting eaten by live people as well.
Well, let's hope they're not cannibals. The jury's still out there. You never know.
You wrote it.
You know, I was thinking, I know a lot of last night's episode, especially with the Rick and Carl stuff, is the people deciding who they are. But I was also thinking that the walkers and the humans have both kind of become the same in that they spend all of their time looking for food.
Yeah.
Dead or alive, that's your existence in the world now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not really living at that point. So, you know, I've often said that, you know, the title The Walking Dead, you know, could just as easily refer to the people as it does to the zombies.
Yeah, excellent, excellent point. Hey, did you stick around? Did you watch The Talking Dead last night too, Robert?
I've got that recorded. I may not have watched it just yet, but
right.
I will not miss an episode that Scott Gimple and Andrew Lincoln are on. So no. If you're going to ask me something specific about it, I'll play like I did see it. Can we do that?
Sure,
no,
this is
something you could just off the top of your head because one of the people who Skyped in with a question was talking about. If any celebrities survived the apocalypse, the zombie invasion, and if so, who would Andrew Lincoln like to see show up as himself on The Walking Dead? And he had the most brilliant answer, and I hope that you'll take this to heart and think about. Wouldn't it be awesome if they came across William Shatner on The Walking Dead, and he was walking around just being all Captain Kirk?
That's a terrible idea.
That's an awesome idea, right?
That would be amazing. Well, look, William Shatner in anything would be fantastic. And, you know, seeing him surviving in the zombie apocalypse would definitely be
yes.
a place to behold.
Look, Kevin, why not? I mean, some celebrities probably survived, right? You know, somewhere out there, there's Rihanna or Kanye or somebody is out there living, right? Not why do you think all the celebrities would be dead?
Well, it's a work of fiction. This is my first clue.
I'm just saying, I want you to, when you put your writer's cap on, Robert, I want you to think about that. Getting Shatner on the show would be awesome.
I want you to do that. I would like to request more information on Rosita, please.
Yeah, is there
season five?
Do you hear me, Robert?
Think there needs to be some sort of a flashback. We always have these flashback episodes. Let's find out more about Rosita back when she was a swimsuit model or something.
I'll see if I can work that in.
Seriously, make a note.
I do love that we can pitch our specific requests to our favorite show to the man who can make them happen.
I'm taking notes here, guys. I'm telling you, I'm going to do some of this stuff.
He could make this happen, but he won't. That's the beauty of it.
All right, one more thing, Mr. Kirkman. And by the way, Dave tells us, producer Dave tells us, and I hope this isn't true, that you are on vacation right now and still agreed to very kindly do this interview just because it was us. If that's true, thank you so much.
Sure. I mean, I'm out of town. I don't know that I would necessarily say I'm on vacation, but it's mostly just because I'm doing this call that I wouldn't say that.
Well, you're very, very, very kind. Can you tell us anything at all about the companion series that everybody is buzzing about? Even the barest of details. We're just dying to know what that's going to be about.
Well, I mean, Dave Erickson just came on as showrunner. He's a fantastic writer and executive producer and has worked on many great shows. One of them, Sons of Anarchy, which I think everybody
yes,
likes. He
awesome.
Just did Low Winter Sun at AMC, which is a really cool show.
Great.
You know, we're working together on this thing, and I could say that it's going to be its own experience. You know, it's not going to be dependent on the parent show, and it's going to have its own appeal and its own cool stuff, and it should be able to stand on its own. So I'm really excited to get into it, and I think people are really going to dig it.
But it's set in the same world, though, right?
Can Carl be the star of that one?
I'm hoping that Carl, we're going to have two Carls in the spinoff. But yeah, it's definitely going to be the same world. It's going to be people dealing with, you know, zombies.
Okay, and one more I am question, and that is, we're going to find out about Carol, Tyrese, Judith, Beth. All of those are somewhere. They may or may not be at Terminus. That'll be divulged for us early in season five as well.
We'll find out whether or not they're on the grill very early in season five.
My guess is that Carol will be running that place by the time we get back. When is it? October? Is that when season five comes?
Yeah, we'll be back in October.
Yeah, well, Carol has got the stones to run that place. She definitely has won us over, I'll tell you that. Well, another fantastic season, Robert, man. We sure enjoyed the hell out of it. We're going to miss it, man. We're going to miss talking to you, too. Although we might see you at Comic-Con, I bet, right?
Yeah. I'll be there.
All right. We'll definitely. Look forward to it. Thank you so much for the time, and thanks for another great season. We always enjoy having you on the show, sir.
Great, man. Great talking to you guys.
Thanks, Robert.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
It's Monday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the final day of March. What's going on?
Since it is Monday, that means we look at the top 10 movies at the weekend box office. Noah did very well for itself in its debut weekend, $44 million.
Anyone see that?
A lot of people went. No one in this room, but
nope.
A lot of people went.
Sure wish I did.
I heard they have talking rocks.
Sure. Now,
is that new to this movie, or was that something in the Bible that I missed?
Hey, Noah, how's it going? Why don't you put us on your boat? We'd like to go, too. We're not animate objects, but we'd like to be saved.
Wow, I didn't know we had a clip from the movie. That's great.
Yeah. I heard from people in Brea over the weekend when I was down there for Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Friday night. Some people went to the Noah and IMAX.
Oh.
And they're sitting there, and they're watching Noah and the floods coming, and everything, and the building starts to shake. Like, wow, this movie's awesome. This is so realistic.
The best effects ever.
Yeah.
Earthquake?
Yeah, there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
$44 million is what Noah made to make it number one. Divergent made $26.5 million. It's good enough to put it in the number two slot. Muppets Most Wanted was third. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, God's Not Dead, was fifth. Then the rest of the top 10, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Sabotage, Need for Speed, 300 Rise of an Empire, and Nonstop. Congratulations to Frozen. The money it made this weekend put it over the top as the most high-grossing animated film of all time, passing Toy Story 3. It also moved into the top 10 spot of all-time best-selling movies worldwide, pulling in over $1 billion.
Just that?
This past weekend. So, a lot of people like that Frozen.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian finally got on the cover
Who?
Of Vogue. I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian got on the cover of Vogue magazine recently. And according to Star Magazine, she was simply a professional, pleasant joy to be around during the shoot. Oh, no, wait a minute.
What? Are you kidding?
I meant to say she showed up late for the cover shoot. Demanded that no one look her directly in the eye.
That's not real.
When Nobody she got on the that. Set.
We always hear that. It can't be real.
It can't be real.
Don't look me in the eye.
And told everyone that was on the set they had to leave their cell phones in their cars or at home. No cell phones were allowed on the set.
That I believe. Because you devalue the images if they get out there ahead of the publication. I get that. But don't look in my eyes. Isn't that all Kim Kardashian wants is for people to look at her?
Look at her ass.
Well,
look at her boobs. Look at her moneymaker.
Sure.
You're playing moneymaker?
Yes, I do.
You know what makes this all the worse? Is that rumor has it that Kate Upton was supposed to be on that cover.
What?
That Kim and Kanye booted Kate Upton off the cover.
What?
And that Kim and Kanye took that slot instead.
What?
I know. I know.
But they're going to publish another issue, right? They can go for next month, right?
I hope. I hope we get what we deserve.
What?
On the photos on the inside of the magazine, by the way, there's a picture of Kanye in his leather Prada pants holding baby Northwest on his chest with Kim. And everyone there at the shoot reports that the baby peed all over Kanye while they were shooting. So maybe the
somebody
kid's
got the right
taste. He's got some taste after all.
Hey, Kevin, did I mention that Alessandra Ambrosio was at in the Kevin and Bean office while you were on vacation?
Yeah, you mentioned
She's
that.
She's just hanging out looking for DJs to hang with.
Yep.
Maybe you missed the Kids' Choice Awards on Saturday.
I absolutely did.
Host Mark Wahlberg declared himself slime-free at the beginning of the ceremonies, but guess what happened?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he said he wasn't going to get
slime.
He
said no slime for this guy. And then?
No.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I got slimed, and I found a transformer. Have you
That's
seen that trailer?
That's not what you want.
Have you seen the trailer?
I have seen the trailer.
I don't think this is a truck. I think we have a transformer.
Yeah. Yeah. I was underwhelmed by that trailer as well.
But you'll still go.
Yeah, of course.
Kevin will go. God bless him. By the way, there was a big debate on who would get slimed between Austin Mahone or Cody Simpson.
Oh, and I'll bet they both... Did?
Yep, Kevin. Turns out it was a tie, and they both got slimed.
Wow, that's crazy.
Pharrell got slimed. But luckily, his giant hat protected him, so he didn't get any on him. Just it was like a giant umbrella.
It was him and 12 others that were hiding underneath it.
That's right. Some of the big awards course, favorite TV show went to Sam and Cat.
Oh, Sam and Cat. They're, wait, what?
Oh, my God.
I love that show.
Sam and Cat.
Apparently, that's the series that Ariana Grande is on.
Oh, all right.
She won for favorite TV actress.
This is usually your wheelhouse, Bean, which is freaky yeah, to the rest of us, but I'm happy that you don't know.
Come on, where's Dog with a Blog? Did that win anything?
It didn't, no, sadly. However, Robert Downey Jr. won for Iron Man 3, which came out, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, wow.
For Best Male Butt Kicker.
All right.
Okay.
Best Female Butt Kicker was Jennifer Lawrence for Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Sure.
Yeah. When I first read that, they said butt licker. I was like, Robert Downey Jr. won for Best Male Butt Licker? Surprise.
That's quite a category for the Kids' Choice Awards.
As ridiculous as the Kids' Choice Awards are, they still have much more sway than the People's Choice. Yeah. They got that going for them. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jack Antonoff of Fun is 30 years old today. Ewan McGregor turns 43. Al Gore, our former vice president, the guy invented the internet. Where's his day? Where's his holiday? Cesar Chavez gets a day. Where's the guy who invented the internet's holiday? Where's Al Gore day?
I'm so excited.
Thank you, Al. 66 years old today. By the way, Dave came next to me in the room. He's like, why am I working today? It's Cesar Chavez day. And I said, don't worry, Dave. You don't work any day. Rhea Perlman, 66 years old. Christopher Walken, 71 years old. And guitarist Angus Young of AC/DC's 59.
Come on. What's better than that?
Come on.
There's not much better than that.
Welcome to the party machine.
Strong.
That's Kevin, who likes the song now from 1981, I'd like
know.
To point out, by the way.
How
That's pretty
that?
Impressive.
We have struck gold.
I'm stretching.
Yep. Or maybe it's opposite day. Because we never know with Kevin. What do we got coming up after the show, Biz?
We have tickets for Kevin Abizi's April Foolishness in the party bus section, party bus not included.
Party bus going to the party bus.
Got to play Lick Lisa. Got to call now, 1-800-520-1067.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Saturday night, Shrine Auditorium, Kevin Abizi's April Foolishness. We've got tickets for you in the party bus section right now. That means you get access to the VIP reception with the Kevin Abizi crew. You also get a limited edition party bus section show t-shirt. And this is very important if you're going to the Shrine, VIP parking. How are you going to win it? You're going to beat us in Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Dave.
Those are still the rules?
I hate the rules.
We haven't updated the rules?
So, Lisa, you have selected Dave to be your guest licker today?
I like Dave very much. And he hasn't licked me
I'll
in quite a while.
I'll do it.
All right, here's the way the game is played. I'm going to be asking the callers on hold a question. The answer is always going to be a number. Lisa will take a guess at that number, and you, caller, only have to say whether you think her guess is right on or you think the actual number is higher or lower. If you're right, then you not only lick Lisa, Dave licks her, you also go into the drawing to win your tickets for Kevin Abizi's April Foolishness. Or is there a drawing? There is a drawing. Yes,
we just
have one winner this time. So who's our first contestant here, Kevin?
That would be Adrian. Hi there.
What's up?
Hey, Adrian.
Welcome to Lick Lisa.
All right, Adrian, listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. This year's Kevin Abizi April Foolishness headliner is popular Australian comedian Jim Jefferies. Jim is also the star of the hit show Legit on FXX, co-starring DJ Qualls, who plays Billy, Jim's wheelchair-bound friend with muscular dystrophy. Lisa, your question. For how many years did Jerry Lewis host the Labor Day weekend muscular dystrophy telethon on television before he left the program in 2010?
Wow. It had to be at least, I'm going to say 30 years.
30 years.
30.
Adrian, is that the correct answer, or is the correct answer higher or lower?
Lower.
44 years.
Wow.
He hosted that program from 19.
Sorry, Adrian.
But he slept for like half of that.
On camera.
I love that Adrian is doing his own sad trumpet music. That's awesome. Who's our next contestant?
He played himself off. Let's go to George. Hi there, George.
Hey,
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you from there?
Hi, George.
All right, George, listen up for Lick Lisa. The Ace Man, Adam Carolla, will also be there Saturday night. Adam is a best-selling author and appears in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's most downloaded podcaster. In 2008, he was a celebrity contestant on TV's Dancing with the Stars before being voted off after how many weeks on the show? How long did Adam last on Dancing with the Stars, Lisa?
I think he was there 4 weeks.
4 weeks. George, is that the exact answer, or is the correct answer higher or lower?
I have no idea, but I'm going to say higher.
The correct answer is 4 weeks.
Wow.
I'm on fire.
Wow. You're not on fire. You watched it.
Sorry, Dave.
Lisa was right on. So we're 0 for 2. So far, nobody in the drawing, and poor Dave is over there getting dry mouth.
No, I'm all right.
Rita, hi.
I'm good.
Hi, Rita. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Rita. Listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first on Lick Lisa. Funny man Eddie Ift will be there with us Saturday. Eddie is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's had a successful career as a comedian, actor, talk show host, podcaster, and writer. He now lives in Venice, California. Hey, that reminds me of a city in Italy also named Venice. Lisa, the reason the streets are made of water in Venice is because the city is made up of how many islands separated by canals? How many islands in the city of Venice?
Probably 20.
20. Is that the right answer, Rita, or is the correct answer higher or lower?
I think it's higher.
The correct answer is 18. Another great guess, Lisa May.
Oh my crap.
All right, we're into sudden death.
So sorry.
As soon as somebody gets one, they win. Let's go to Christian. Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Christian.
Hey, Christian. All right, Christian. Pressure's on. America's most popular actor might very well be our friend, comedian Patton Oswalt. He's appeared recently on every show on TV, including Portlandia, Justified, Parks and Recreation, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Modern Family, and coming soon, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Patton is portraying one of the early S.H.I.E.L.D. members named Eric Koenig, who is absolutely no relation to Ezra Koenig, the frontman for the band Vampire Weekend. Lisa, speaking of vampires, how many movies have been made based on Bram Stoker's Dracula?
The first thought in my head was 8. That feels very low. So I'm going to say 14.
All right, 14. Christian, is that right on, or is the real answer higher or lower?
Higher.
Yes, 80. Congratulations.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations. You've just won a pair of tickets in the party bus section to join us at Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2014. Hey, before we go, though, Dave's got some licking to do.
Lave, that's right.
This is your only licking, Dave, so make it count.
I guess.
Make it good.
Listen to him pout.
Yeah, make it good.
He's pouting.
Use your power for evil.
All right, back of the deck's a good choice.
I got chills.
That does not look sexy, I got to be honest.
Well,
Christian, wait a minute. Are you Kevin? You want to feel it?
No.
Way to go, Christian.
Lick,
thanks.
Lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Our old friend from the NFL Network, Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, joining us in studio. See, we weren't going to let you go an entire offseason without stopping by, Andrew. Come on.
And by old, you mean?
You've been on the show for a number of years.
Thank
That's
you,
all. That's what I mean.
I got a birthday coming up, and I don't know.
Well, by the way, you look phenomenal for 19.
We have so much ground to cover,
but I think we should start with talking about the NCAA tournament, which has once again this year been the greatest sporting event in the world. Has it been so much fun, Andrew?
It's the kind of thing where the game yesterday, the Kentucky,
Michigan.
The Kentucky-Michigan game. It had an ending where you look at it and say, well, I can't believe that just happened. But then you look back the last couple of nights, and it's been one of those every single night. The Arizona-Wisconsin game in Anaheim the same way, despite the fact that you had the officials blow the game for 5 minutes there at the end, and the charge even a couple of minutes before that in Arizona was bogus. But you have these fantastic moments, or last week with Wichita State being beaten. I mean, this Kentucky team beat three of last year's Final Four teams in a row.
Wow.
Now, to get to the Final Four, and they're an 8 seed. People will call them this amazing Cinderella story.
And they're mostly freshmen, too.
They're all freshmen. They played 7 yesterday and started 5. I mean, they are all.
Is that typical of most of these teams? Because
it's typical of Kentucky.
Oh,
they are. Kentucky is. You know what AAU is? Like AAU basketball?
No.
It's really a minor league system for the colleges.
Okay.
Basically, it's club basketball for high school kids.
Okay.
And they're run by the sneaker companies. It's kind of a seedy underworld. But they're travel teams of high school kids during the summer.
Okay.
They are the world's greatest AAU team. basically what they are.
Okay.
They don't necessarily have anything to do with the academic institution.
Right.
They're going to be gone, the majority of them, after one season. So they stay eligible. It's a sham. They stay eligible for the first semester, academically eligible, which point they skate through the second semester.
Right.
And then leave after 1 year.
Wow. So they're not showing up to go to college at all.
Not after Christmas, they're not.
No.
So, and again, I'm painting with a broad brush there. I'm sure some of these kids are future rocket scientists.
Sure.
I have no idea.
I'm sure
but
they are.
Kentucky, John Calipari, has this idea. He is going to recruit, and he lays it out there. I'm going to recruit absolutely the top 10 high school kids in America. I'm going to convince 5 or 6 or 8 of them to come here, and wow, we will play as the world's greatest AAU team. And we will win. Now, this team wasn't supposed to win because they played like garbage a lot of the year.
Right.
But all of a sudden, they realized at the end of the year, hey, we're pretty good, and they've shown it.
Well, I mean, look, the way to get more of those kids next year to look at the University of Kentucky is to be in the Final Four so that it's working.
Exactly.
You know, what they're doing is working.
Exactly.
And they're doing it very differently than the other schools in Connecticut and all the others?
Well,
Duke and all?
Duke, yes, absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely. Well,
most of the Duke kids graduate.
Many of them do. Most of them do. They have a higher academic standard, not to suggest that they are above reproach. They are not.
Of course.
But Jabari Parker, for example, who many people think is the number one kid in America, he went to Duke this year as a true freshman, and Duke took him knowing he might be one and done. Corey Maggette, who played for the Clippers years ago, was the very first guy to go to Duke and leave after 1 year. That back then was unheard of, especially – well, it was unheard of at Duke.
Right.
It's like getting an audience with the Queen and saying, yeah, I'm out. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay for lunch. I'm out of here.
Thanks for your time.
Nice to meet you. Sorry about that. My back hurts. I'm done. So, but now kids will do that at Duke. But there are some schools that say, hey, we don't want to recruit that kind of player. We want to give the idea that we're trying.
Right, and then they lose.
And then a lot of them lose.
And then they
a lot of them lose. Or there's the other thing, like at Syracuse, my alma mater, Tyler Ennis, this point guard out of Canada, he was good, but he was never going to be, I'm out after 1 year good. But then he played so well, he's gone, and now you're left without a point guard saying, what do we do? Because we never thought that guy was going to leave. That makes sense.
Sure.
Now, I was sad anyway to see Dayton's improbable run end, but they did come up against Florida, so there's no surprise there.
Sure.
Florida has won 30 in a row. They've got to be the favorites of the Final Four, right?
They are, except they're playing Connecticut, who they've actually lost to this year.
That was the last team they lost to.
Right. Did you have Dayton in your pool?
No, I didn't have a pool, but I just, like so many people, there's always one Cinderella team that you just get enamored with because you've never watched them before, and then all of a sudden they're winning everything.
Dayton was the very first game of the tournament that I got knocked out on.
The very first one?
Yeah, the very first game of March Madness was Dayton somebody.
And you picked somebody.
And I picked somebody.
And then they beat Syracuse.
Out. Yeah.
Right, and then I got knocked out.
Yeah.
They were 500-1 before the tournament began, Andrew. So a lot of people were obviously surprised by them, but they met the buzzsaw that is the Gators. And I guess when you get to the Final Four, anybody can win, but Florida certainly favored.
See, here's the beauty of this tournament is that you root for Dayton, you rooted for George Mason, you rooted
for
Virginia
Mercer.
Commonwealth, you rooted for Mercer.
Yeah.
Whereas, look at the NBA playoffs, let's say, for example. If the Lakers aren't in it, which God knows they won't be this year.
They may have been eliminated next year.
Right. Guarantee you, when the Spurs make the Western Finals, or when they make the Finals, we're going to hear the same garbage we've heard for years. TV executives are going to kill themselves.
Now,
if it's San Antonio in Indiana... Right?
Right.
Yeah. We're gonna shoot ourselves in the head. Are you kidding me? Indianapolis and San Antonio's no one's going to watch this. The ratings will go down, and we're going to blame it on – we blamed it on Tim Duncan for 15 years. He's boring. No one wants to watch the Spurs. Greg Popovich is grumpy, although he's hysterical and grumpy. And we're going to say that because it's not the shiny object, that it's going to be not a bad product, but boring to us. Yet the tournament – we want these schools
that's
12 days ago,
you're right,
we couldn't find on a map. Anyone know where Mercer was?
No.
I still don't.
Legitimately. Yeah.
It's in Ohio, right?
It's in Georgia.
Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
It's
okay.
In Macon, Georgia.
But no idea.
People in Macon, Georgia don't know it's down the street.
Probably.
By the way, people made the same complaints about the small market Super Bowl this year,
sure,
too, with Denver and Seattle. Who's going to watch that? The most watched television event in U.S. history.
And
so,
people made the same argument with Bruno Mars. He's not as big as Beyonce from last year. The most watched halftime in history, even though the first half was a blowout and the game was over after 20 minutes or 30
minutes. Andrew Siciliano is here, host of the NFL Network, and, of course, in season at DirecTV's Red Zone. We have a bunch more stuff we want to talk to you about, Andrew, especially something in your wheelhouse here. I guess I didn't realize, do they do this every year where the NFL votes on the new rules? Every year they do
Yes, at the league meeting.
I'm surprised how many different things were on the table this year and how many new proposals passed. It's going to be a very different NFL next year.
We're doing it
next
year on Twitter.
So
wow, great.
We want to talk about that when we return with Andrew right after this on the Kevin Beach Show. Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network in studio with us now on the Kevin Beach Show. If you want to annoy Andrew, call him a hater on Twitter. That's the one thing I've learned about that.
He does enjoy that.
Well, can I explain that
for
30 seconds? Mm-hmm. And you know none of my stories go 30 seconds. The word no longer has meaning. When we were kids, that was a strong word.
Hater.
Didn't you ever have... No, the word hate.
Hate.
Like, if you said you hated something...
Oh, yeah. My parents were like,
No. You, that's negative. That's really... You don't hate that. That's awful.
Right.
Now, it means nothing. Because, for example, like, if I don't like mayonnaise, I refuse to eat it.
Hater. Hater.
Right?
Yeah. Hater.
You're a hater. Maybe, but
I think you're a hater of mayonnaise.
If I
that's
say,
cool.
for example, beer mug, that shirt's, I don't like that shirt.
Right.
Right. I'm a hater. No. I just don't like it. I just, if you gave it to me, I would choose not to wear it. Right.
That's all you're saying.
But,
there's no hate
but now
involved.
I'm hating that shirt.
But let me tell you something. The reason is because it doesn't mean you're hating. It means that your dislike of that shirt is based on something in you. There's a fault in you. It's not the shirt.
No. If you just wanted the line. Right, exactly.
That's
no
what
one,
I'm saying.
Right, because no one can accept
that
they are something other than being fawned over.
So you hear Justin Bieber say all the haters. Well, you know what? People do hate you because you're a dick.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like that.
Right.
There's some reason for that.
Or, for example,
our 30 seconds are up on this topic, Andrew.
I don't hate it. I just would choose a different shirt.
Right.
It's not about you personally.
I would choose a different person.
Maybe, although with beer mug, it is about him personally.
It should be.
But it's just I would choose something else. Therefore, we're this overly sensitive society.
Oh, wait, that's been going on for a long time.
And then the whole thing, you put on a preposition. If I were to hate something, like
you would be hating on it.
Uh-huh. It doesn't need a preposition. You can't
drives
hate
Andrew crazy.
On
he spends 50% of his Twitter time complaining about
if
hating
I
and hating
top
on.
Of a
you're
jar
the bean of sports Twitter.
I'm not.
You
I'm
are. Not. You're the bean of sports Twitter.
I don't change my picture every 3 minutes like
no,
he does.
But do you correct people's grammar because they're putting a preposition after the word hate?
No, I just don't respond to. But if they do, my favorite is "you're an idiot." Those occasionally need to be retweeted.
If they're calling you names, it is funny.
"You're
sure.
an idiot." No, you are. You. Moron.
All right, time has expired on this discussion, Andrew.
Okay, where were we?
When the NFL owners meet and proposals are brought in front of them, are any of them ever, hey, maybe LA needs a team?
But that's not a rule proposal.
But
they have the owners, to find a team. They have to find a building.
Aren't the
first.
Owners the ones who would benefit to gain a great deal from having a team in Los Angeles?
Yes, but they don't want
to do
it.
Why is that not thing one every time they get together?
Well, it is certainly on the agenda every time. Well, I mean, the at least speak in the hallways agenda. Whether it's officially on the agenda, that varies year to year. They definitely want a team here. But they can't have a team here until they have a building here.
Okay.
And those are the facts. Now,
I just want to make sure we're still keeping an eye on that. That just hasn't forgotten about it.
And the commissioner addressed it last week. They could put him in the Coliseum for a couple of years, although the Rose Bowl I think would be a better option. They could put them in the Rose Bowl for a couple of years, but you're not going to move into the temporary housing until you have a shovel in the ground for your house, your building.
Sure.
You can't just show up and say, okay, now we're here. Can we figure out where to put the real house? It's not going to work that way. So whether it's downtown, which is on life support probably, or City of Industry, which if they wanted to do it in City of Industry, let's face it, they would have done it there years ago.
Yeah.
That thing has been shovel ready, they say. Allegedly for years. If they wanted to put it there, they would have done it there. I've always said for years the best answer is Carson, but that ship sailed years ago. So now Hollywood Park is out there as an idea potentially.
Right.
Oh, that's gone,
which
right.
was out there 20 years ago, obviously, with lawsuits and the Raiders when they were here the first time. So until they find the building or find a spot for the building.
The right land and the right money man has to step up.
No one's showing. But look at the Raiders, because the Raiders are year to year on their lease. They have a year left on that lease.
Yeah.
The Chargers are year to year, but they keep extending. They have a window right now, this time of the year. They've already picked it up for next year. But right after the season ends, they have a window there, January, February, where they can get out. They don't. They keep staying, which is right. They should stay there. They want to do something downtown. Ralph Wilson died last week, the Bills owner. Eventually that team is going to have to be sold, but they can't get out really till, I think, 2019.
Plus are the Bills.
But they are a team.
Right.
People say the Jaguars. That is like a nine-figure buyout right now for the Jaguars.
Wow.
They're not leaving. The Rams have... The Rams could be a free agent next year. That might be interesting.
Do you think that a lot of people just are gun shy of both the Raiders and the Rams just because it didn't work once already? When you say those two teams, I think,
No, I'll tell you what. The Raiders, Rams, and Chargers, all teams that have been here in the past. Remember, the Chargers were the L.A. Chargers when they were born.
I don't remember that.
They were the L.A. Chargers. Okay. They are the teams that would bring automatic fan bases here because there are still lingering fans, especially Raider fans.
Oh, right?
I mean, we're surrounded
Absolutely.
By Raider fans here. And there are plenty of Charger fans here as well. Not as many.
I mean, you
Raiders.
Automatically sell a box to Ice Cube if you come to town. So
exactly.
You got that.
Exactly.
You have one box sold.
All right. 100 yards and running.
Let's talk about what they – so that's a distance. That's a ways off still. Let's talk about some of the stuff that they did vote on and did pass. One of them, as Kevin mentioned earlier, is going to make Adam Carolla so happy because for years he's been talking about how the goalposts need to be taller because don't guess whether it went over because the posts aren't tall enough, and they're actually going to do that. They're going to extend them 5 feet higher. That's real.
Yeah.
Exciting. No one can complain about
got
that.
A rule change.
No one could complain about that.
Nobody
can
complain about
it's
that.
It's not exciting, but Adam came up with it, and
it will. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Here's why
it just
we're happy
makes sense.
With it.
Right.
It makes
right.
sense. So they extended the goalposts.
There's no downside to that rule. None.
I can't see one.
Okay.
You?
No. Now, speaking of the goalposts, and this surprised me because, once again, the No Fun League is trying to take all the touchdown celebrations away. Now you're not even allowed to dunk the ball over the crossbar. In other words, what they're saying is it's not a new rule, but they're saying that you're not allowed to use a ball as a prop, and that extends to dunking because now you're treating a football like a basketball. That's estupido, right, Andrew?
Listen, and let's go back to Twitter here. The faux outrage from the Saints fans, and you want to talk about spelling, by the way.
Hey, they had a flood.
I wrote on Twitter, hey, it's all fun and games until somebody breaks the goalpost. Blame Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham of the Saints in a Saints-Falcons game in Atlanta during the year on national TV on NFL Network did what he always does. He's a former basketball player in Miami. He dunked the ball, and he broke it. He broke the goalpost. They had to bring the level out. There's a guy, I mean, Arthur Blank used to own Home Depot, so he had the ladder and the level, and he went up there, and they fixed it, but it took 10 minutes.
Love it.
Well, at that point, hey, what'd your parents say? You break something, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
So
it's all fun games until somebody loses an eye.
Until someone loses an eye.
Or
he had a visor on. Thankfully, his eyes are fine.
All
but
right,
he broke the goalpost. So
no kidding.
They don't do it anymore. All these people screaming and yelling about no fun. Jeff Fisher, the coach of the Rams, said, you want to see dunking, go watch basketball. I mean, come on.
We like to see players celebrate because it's fun.
This is a creative player base. They will find new ways to entertain you.
Are you still allowed to dance?
You're allowed to dance your you-know-what off.
Okay.
Yes.
My favorite thing about dunking the ball on the crossbar is that most of them couldn't get up high enough.
Well, some guys...
So they shoot it straight out at the crowd.
Every now and then you'd see guys get rejected by the crossbar.
And that was great fun.
Here's what is legal. You could still lay it up.
Oh.
Well, that's a prop. Wait a minute, that's a prop.
Nope.
Yeah, it's a prop.
I bet you some guys are going to get the penalty and lay it up because some people have in the past. They've gone up and finger rolled it.
If you could finger roll it and have it stick on there.
Now
that's a move.
That would be good.
And you
By
see
the
way, refs,
you get two extra points.
You see
points
the refs like jumping up, trying to get the ball so they can kick it off. That'd be awesome.
Speaking of visors, it made me think of something when you said that, Andrew. You saw Bill Belichick at one of the NCAA tournament games at an indoor game wearing a visor. How's that for a fashion decision?
And he also had flip flops on, by the way, which were not seen on camera. It was one of the Florida games early because they were down there for the meetings. The game was in Orlando. The meetings were in Orlando, the NFL meetings. I don't know. That's a he is a fashion play.
I love it.
He is a fashion play. Maybe he came from playing golf.
That's a step beyond wearing sunglasses indoors, though. That's a visor in a dome stadium.
See,
come on.
Sunglasses indoors are acceptable sometimes, like, for example, the airport. I think they're acceptable.
If you're hungover, you mean?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, if you're in Vegas.
Coming
you're
back from Vegas,
sure, yeah.
Sunglasses inside.
Sure.
Absolutely. Or just the leave me alone. look.
Sure.
You don't want that. You never do that?
You put those on. You put the headphones on if
right.
you want to be left alone.
I mean, the fame you have.
Oh, please. I get stopped every 5 seconds.
Exactly. You put the sunglasses on. You put on your Beats by Bean, right?
I walk down the airport going, hey, does anyone listen to K-Rock? No? All right.
All right, listen, we are out of time.
You should give it a try. It's pretty good.
We didn't even get a chance to ask you about the new instant replay rule in baseball. We'll have to say that for next time because that hasn't been used yet. Nobody's called that yet, right?
Well, in spring training games.
Spring training, yes, yeah. But we haven't seen it for reals in a game yet, but that could potentially be interesting as well. So.
Yes, sir.
We'll have to leave it there for today. You can follow Andrew on Twitter, unless you want to hate on him. That's at Andrew Siciliano.
You can hate near me.
And, of course, look for him in the NFL Network. It's great to see you again, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
Likewise, peoples. I missed you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
I'm going to talk to little people coming up after the top of the hour.
Hey,
Lynn
what
Doak.
Hey, what's that up?
It's one of the lead singers. For an all little person cover band. They're everything. They're Wee Wee Top. They're Small and Oates. I think they're Iron Midget. I think they do them all. And they're very talented, and they're trying to make a TV show out of it. So we'll find out more about that from Lynn coming up. First, though, Rob's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Before I beat you, let me give you something. That's the way my romance used to work back in the day. This could be a cool fight. Marquez versus Alvarado. If you're a boxing fan like I be, bang, 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 then this is a fight you've been looking forward to for some time. Pair of tickets to celebrate boxing's return to the Forum back in the day. The Forum was a great place to watch the fights. And now the newly refurbished Forum is opening its doors once again to professional boxing. Marquez versus Alvarado is May 17th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale Tuesday, April the 1st. That's tomorrow at 3 p.m. How do I get those tickets, though? Where would I go on the internet?
Ticketmaster!
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, Dave. Take it easy.
Again, tickets go on sale tomorrow at 3 p.m. However, you, my good boxing aficionados, if you'd like to get tickets before anybody else, then call me right now at 1-800-520-1067. The 17th caller at that phone number will receive a pair of tickets to celebrate boxing's return to the Forum. Marquez versus Alvarado. That is May the 17th at the fabulous
Ticketmaster
Forum. Yes, Ticketmaster tomorrow at 3. You can buy those tickets, but by now you can win them. Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang, bang, bang, bang, bang.
That's actual play-by-play from a fight.
Guys, actually calling a fight. Freaking Jim Lampley. That's what you got? Describe something. Give me some information.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang.
I can
bang,
see that.
Bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Do you want to throw sometime? Bang, bang, bang.
I can
bang,
see the bangs.
Bang, bang.
I'm watching the fight. I can see the bangs, Jim.
I like how he's taken on the persona of the fighter that's winning.
Yeah.
You want to throw some?
It's like he's playing a video game.
You got anything for me?
It's not you, Jim.
Love it.
See his ex-wife, Bree. Bree Walker.
No.
Yeah.
She got into some trouble with the sauce driving her car.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I felt bad for her. Bad enough, she's has a hard time with the steering wheel in the first place, but now she compounds things by boozing it up. That's a bad choice.
I think her face are in worse shape than her hands, by the way, right now, Ralph.
Why you gotta go there, man?
Because I saw the mugshot.
Yeah, so?
It's tragic.
Not tragic. We all get older. Life.
Oh, it's not just the older part. She had help.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Her lips have always been like that.
She looks like plastic surgery gone wrong. I don't know, but she looks that way.
Well, she always had those giant, full lips. Back in the day, they were useful.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Let's move on now. I think we've hit all
because of the hands.
All the ugliness we can in this conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know Bree was in your knitting circle, Lisa. I apologize. I had no idea.
Come on, Lisa. Say everything's fine.
Everything's fine. I'm already out of time because the stewards of the clock once again have shown their mastery
bang,
over time.
Bang, 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 bang.
They've given me just a
By the way, just so you know, that is beer. That's beer mug you're talking
just
about.
Just a
when you
wee
say that.
Moment.
Beer mug is
just
in charge of that.
Just a wee showbiz moment. That's all I get from Kevin and
Fire Bean. Beer mug.
So,
Dairy.
I did want to give those tickets away, however.
Is Don on the phone?
Yeah, I wish Don was on the phone because I got some choice words for Don. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Jack Antonoff of Fun is 30 years old today. Actor Ewan McGregor is 43 years old. Drinking a wee bit of scotch today to celebrate his birthday. Angus Young of AC/DC is 59 years old. Al Gore, our former vice president. And at one time president for like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Supreme Court stepped in and said, no, go away. 66 years old. Rhea Perlman, 66 as well. And Christopher Walken, 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Playing the music of ZZ Top, please welcome Wee Wee Talk.
See, Wee Wee Talk.
Oh, Wee Wee Top's just the beginning.
See,
of it.
Because...
No, that's just the beginning. It's also...
Because they're little people.
It's also Minnie Van Halen. It's also Small & Oates. These guys do it all. We are so excited about Little Rockers. It's a Kickstarter campaign that's going on right now to bring this amazing group of musicians to our television screen. And we're going to talk to the man who is most famous perhaps for playing Little Ozzy Osbourne, Lynn Doak, who's a member of the Little Rockers. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Lynn. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited about being Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Well,
it's pretty awesome.
We're excited to have you as well, but the big question I have for you as a result of spending some time on your Kickstarter page is why are the television networks not falling over themselves to do a reality show about you guys? Why are you having to fund this thing yourself, man?
Well, you know, the funny thing is we haven't done that. We haven't tried that. We you know, I guess some of us, including myself, are quite rebellious and really don't like a lot of people telling me what to do and things like that. So we decided to try a Kickstarter program first to see if we could raise the money to do it ourselves. That way we can, you know, we even have prizes for givers that can actually produce the show out there themselves or be a part of the show, speak on the show and things like that. You know, we really didn't want a producer, you know, or a bunch of big wigs, you know, and big offices, big money and all that, you know, telling us.
Well, you don't like anything big, right?
You're using the word big a lot.
Nothing big, just our women, that's all.
Right. Let's learn a little bit for folks who are not familiar with you and your friends in this band that you play in. So you travel the country and you play, how many different cover bands do you guys, or tribute bands, do you guys have?
Well, you know, it started, honestly, with Little Ozzy, as you mentioned a few minutes ago. I had a shot a couple years ago to go on America's Got Talent and sing to Sharon. And a guy named David Lyons at Lyons Entertainment out there was trying to put a reality show together. We both were just based on Little Ozzy. And, you know, it just didn't do too well, you know. So we decided, you know, if we could find a group of all little people that actually played live, you know, a lot of little people actually they used backing tracks and things like that.
Right.
So that's when we were in touch with a guy out there named Michael Gogan that he knew so many musicians out there. You know, I and the piano player are the only ones from the East Coast. Our pianist is from Alabama, and I live in the Richmond, Virginia area. So, you know, we have to fly out there to rehearse and do things like that. However, Michael got the guys together, and the first time we got together, it was just the guys were amazing. I mean, it blew my mind. You know, we were looking for musicians, but we didn't know we were going to get, like, unbelievable musicians. The guys are great. Their credentials are incredible. I mean, it comes together. I mean, we can literally sit down and say, okay, well, this client wants us to do, let's say, Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash. Okay, we got a week. Let's throw together some songs that we're comfortable with. You know, maybe 2 weeks, whatever. We get together, and it blows my mind because there's not even hardly any rehearsal.
That's
you know,
amazing.
I mean, there's a few loose ends, but the guys are totally pro, man. And you know, I really believe that, you know, the networks, when they see this, if they see this, they will be falling all over themselves because it's tremendous. It really is. It's a really cool thing to see so many little guys up there rocking. I mean, better.
I just can't believe that one group of musicians can be as proficient at playing Metallica and Van Halen and Iron Maiden as they are playing, you know, Elton John and Willie Nelson and Pink Floyd. That's what blows my mind.
It's amazing, you know. I mean, it's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. Oh, yeah! You know, come on, man. You can do it. You can do it all.
Now, Lynn, again, we're talking to Lynn Doak from the Little Rockers. You can go to the Kickstarter page, just search Little Rockers and find out more about it,
and
see video of the guys.
We've got, you know, we've done great. It has gone incredible. Our goal was $300,000, and we're over $15,000 right now, and sadly enough, you know, things work out the way they work out. It's what it is. But today's the last day, actually. 11:55 at midnight, you know, is our deadline. But, you know, I believe that, you know, somebody out there that wants to produce it or be a part of it that's listening, and you know, I believe we're sitting on a gold mine here. You know, I beg you, get out there and do it. Let's do this. Let's make this happen, you know.
One thing I learned from the trailer and your Kickstarter page is that you are not shy with the ladies. Now, we have a friend named Brad Williams, who's a very popular comedian. Maybe you're familiar with Brad's work. And he tells us that there are so many women out there who have it on their bucket list to get with a little person. Have you found that to be your experience as well, Lynn?
It's a shame. It's a sad thing to see such a trend going around like that for me because, you know, it's just, it's amazing. I know some women that are like that. Of course, I come in contact with them in my travels. But as far as, it's not everywhere. No, it's not like if you go into a club and there's a few out there, you know.
It only takes one, though.
That's it, man. You're right. Sometimes, you know, it's fun with two or three. You know.
Sure.
Come on, man.
Sure. Let's not limit ourselves.
So, Lynn, what's your ultimate goal here would be to get a reality TV show about you guys. And beyond that, do you have musical ambitions as well? I mean, you're making a living in music right now, but would you rather be doing something else with the music?
You know, I spent all my life trying to make it in the music scene, and it wasn't up until, you know, and, man, I'm 40-some years old now. It's like, it wasn't until a few years ago that I realized, wow, I can cash in on this size thing, you know?
You're a slow learner.
Yeah, right?
That is a long
truth,
time. You're in your 40s and you just thought of it 2 years ago?
So Lynn is like 20 and he's going, what do I have that nobody else has? And he's like 30. He's got, is there anything that would make me unique in the world of music? That is in 40. He's like, what? I can't think of it. Now, finally, light bulb, a tiny little light bulb over your head, Lynn.
That's right. Well, you know, I like acting. I think I'm good at that. I love singing. I actually write music on my own. A lot of the other guys do. I think that if we got a reality show and really got out there and did it, you know, the sky's the limit when it comes
to that. Do you live in a bird's nest?
I sure do. I live in a bat cave.
Okay. It kind of sounds like it.
The birds are so loud. I can move if they're too loud.
They're really loud.
This is shocking.
No, they're fine, but I think Kevin was curious if you literally live in a bird's nest because you are kind of tiny. That's all.
Doesn't a little guy live with birds? That's hilarious.
I like it.
All right.
Go to Kickstarter.com and type in Little Rockers to find out more about Lynn Doak and all of his friends in the Little Rockers. It does look awesome. The stuff that you've shot so far looks awesome. I would watch that show, Lynn, and I wish you the best of luck. I hope somebody here in Los Angeles in the TV business is listening up and checks out the page, and we get you on the small screen here real soon, man.
Thank you so much. Can't wait for the small screen, brother.
Small screen. Nice to be
here. See you later.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
So Kevin's gone last week, and he comes back, and he's back on the show, and he's here today. And I says to Kevin, I bet you were amazed to come back from vacation and find out that they still haven't found the plane. And he says, oh, I hadn't really thought about it. I guess I forgot about it.
Yeah, because he's got a life.
I have a
life.
Person.
How do you forget that a plane fell out of the sky and there's been no sign of it?
I'm short attention span guy, though, Bean. You know, it's like day one, I was clued in. Day two, I'm out.
Plus, we all know what happened to it. It crashed in the ocean. And
then where is
it?
Then where is it?
You know what? The ocean's pretty big.
At the
bottom
of the ocean.
It's been a month.
So?
I'm just saying.
Wait, let me just ask you a question, Bean. Yeah, and I'm guessing that this is what's going to happen. We'll never know. I'm just guessing that that's the case.
I'm with you, buddy.
If that's the case,
really?
six months from now, are you going to come in and be hassling about this stupid plane? I hope I'm fighting this so we can stop talking about
He's never going to get past this.
Wow. All
I'm never going to get past it. Yes, because
you need to get past it.
You know what it's like? It's like reading the first 200 pages of a book and walking away from it with 5 pages left and not knowing how it
is. Let me fill in the 5 pages for you. It crashed in the ocean. There. Now your book's done. Now put it down.
I would like to read that in the author's original words, please. I don't like it. I'm just saying I don't like it. I can't believe you didn't spend your vacation trying to fly to wherever it is and find the plane yourself, Kevin, because that's what I'd have done.
Wow.
All right. Time for the show.
You and I are very
now.
Different.
Here on a Monday, Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on?
How much more, Kevin, do you appreciate your vacation when you come back
so
and
much
you
more.
Listen to that?
So,
it was the greatest
so
week
more.
Of your life, wasn't it?
It was pretty strong,
yeah.
Although I did see Bean Thursday night.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a great week.
No,
it was a good week.
It was a
pretty
good
week.
It was 4 out of 5 days. It was great.
It's a pretty good week.
Hey, I can hear you guys, you know.
Speaking of great and good, the great and good Mr. Johnny Depp
has a new movie coming out called Transcendence. How awesome does this look?
Yay!
Kids love it.
Johnny Depp plays a terminally ill scientist who downloads his mind into a computer. This has been his dream always, but this grants him power beyond his wildest dreams. And if you know anything about power, my friends,
power corrupts.
Power corrupts. And absolute power, Kevin?
Corrupts. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
The monkey is back. He's tanned, he's rested, he's ready. He becomes unstoppable. What do you do then when you've got an egomaniacal man trapped inside of all of computerdom?
Can you imagine? That's Bean's dream.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh.
We would all be just dead.
You're giving Bean, us updates Bean every 5 seconds.
He would wipe us out.
No news on the plane.
I've checked out the entire internet in my brain, and there's no news.
So you could be plugged in all the time?
In every computer, everywhere, all the time.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, this is, but this is fiction, Bean. It's important that we
point
this out.
And it's a horror story. This is not a good story for this guy. Anyway, I can't wait to see this film. I love Johnny Depp and all the things that he does. Morgan Freeman's also in the film. Rebecca Hall. Great cast. Movies in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 18th. However, maybe you'd like to see it before anybody else. Maybe you'd like a pair of passes to the premiere.
Ticketmaster!
No, you can't get them at Ticketmaster. The premiere of Transcendence, which will be Thursday, April the 10th at the Westwood Bruin Theater. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? It's the damn premiere, people. I want to give it away to some real hardcore Johnny Depp fans. I don't want just anybody walking the red carpet to this premiere. So here's your trivia question. Just call me with the answer at 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with the correct answer will get a pair of passes to the premiere of Transcendence. Johnny Depp, as I mentioned, one of my favorites. All you need to do is tell me the feature film where Johnny Depp had his very first movie role. 1984, I'll give you that much of a hint.
1984.
Yeah. It was a big, big franchise. Kicked off a big franchise. It's another hint. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five people with that correct answer. You're going. Monday morning, we take a look at the weekend box office. Noah was the big winner with $44 million. Divergent was second with $26.5 million. Then Muppets Most Wanted, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and God's Not Dead at number five. The rest of the top ten were The Grand Budapest Hotel, Sabotage, in its debut with $5.3 million.
It will be gone from the top ten next week.
Kevin gave them some money for that $5.3 million.
It's terrible.
Need for Speed, 100. Nope, 300. Rise of an Empire. 100 was the first film of the trilogy. This is 300. Rise of an Empire Nonstop, number 10 at the box office. Congratulations to Disney's Frozen. Now the top-grossing animated film of all time after this weekend's take, passing Toy Story 3. It also moved into the top 10 slot for all-time best-selling movies worldwide, pulling in just a little over $1 billion
this past weekend.
That ain't so bad. Speaking of ticket sales, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a big Kate Bush fan. You guys familiar with Kate Bush at all? She was, for those of you who are not familiar with Kate Bush's work, and I don't blame you because she's a bit of a recluse.
Yeah.
She was very prolific in the 70s and 80s, and then just sort of disappeared. And she never tours in the States because she will not get on an airplane. So she doesn't have a big presence here in the States. But
does she have any thoughts on the Malaysian jet?
I was always a big fan. I was wondering where she's been lately. She hasn't performed live in 35 years, by the way.
Wow.
She just announced 22 concerts at London's Hammersmith Apollo Theater. They went on sale on Friday, and in 15 minutes they were sold out. 22 shows in 15 minutes.
Wow.
Top ticket price was $224, but scalpers are already getting nearly $2,000 for tickets to see Kate Bush.
As you don't remember, this is probably her biggest song.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Maybe, obviously.
Maybe 35 years wasn't long enough. I would love to see her if I could, but as I mentioned, she doesn't travel, so you got to go over there to UK if you want to see her.
Well, you're going over for Monty Python later this year. Why don't you just...
I don't think I can stick around through August.
opening night is summer.
Opening night is August the 26th. I will be returning early in July.
Come back when you run out of things to do in Britain.
Just missing out. There's rumors that she might play Glastonbury in 2015. So this may be the beginning of a resurgence for Kate Bush.
There you go.
Avicii
had to cancel his headlining appearance at the Ultra Festival in Miami over the weekend. I reported last week that he missed a Miami date because he had some problems, went to the hospital. I pshawed it.
Right.
I went pshaw. I said, oh, what is this, dehydration and exhaustion? Is that what he's suffering from? Turns out he got out of the hospital, then had to go immediately back in. Because turns out the pain was real. He had his gallbladder removed and his appendix, which burst on him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. Appendicitis. That's a bad deal right
there.
All
of his organs started to turn on him. His gallbladder as well as his appendix, which had ruptured. He's apparently resting comfortably and tweeted that he's looking forward to touring the U.S. very soon. So missed out on the Ultra Festival, but apparently on the mend. So I apologize for poo-pooing his illness, apparently.
I thought you pshawed it.
I pshaw and poo-poo.
Okay.
Flaming Lips have recorded an album that is a complete cover of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. That seems unnecessary. It's now available as a digital download.
Have they taken the Pink Floyd version out? So we can't hear it anymore?
No, you can still get the original.
Oh, that's weird.
In fact, Wayne Coyne, frontman for the Lips, says the best way to hear Flaming Side of the Moon, as they're calling their album, is to sync it up with Pink Floyd's album and listen to both of them at the same time.
It's a terrible idea.
Sounds like a lot of work, Wayne, just to listen to some music.
Now, if I could clarify for you here, because I am a Flaming Lips fan. They last year released their cover album of Dark Side of the Moon. Okay, so that's out. That is available. You can buy that or stream that or whatever that's. This new project that has just been announced this week is a companion album to Dark Side of the Moon that is meant to be played at the exact same time as the Pink Floyd. It's supposed to enhance it.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it's supposed to add to it.
But it doesn't.
This is from the same band who released an album back in the 90s that was meant to be played. It was four discs, and it was meant to be played on four different CD players at the same time. You're supposed to start them all at the same time. That's how you were supposed to listen to that.
Crap's sake. What? How? Why are they making me work so hard? Listen to the music.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Hey,
it's a pain in the ass.
If you like four things, put them all on the same track and let me hear it.
Yes, exactly.
I gotta get four CD players going? F you, Flaming Lips.
That sounds unnecessary.
It's absolutely unnecessary. And why Dark Side of the Moon needs a companion album that's played at the same time, I have no earthly idea.
Do I have to watch The Wizard of Oz while I'm playing both
CDs? As a matter of fact, you do. Ugh. As a matter of fact, that is also recommended.
I'm exhausted just reading this story.
I do have a clip. This is...
Come on, you can't lose it on the setup.
Jesus. You have a clip of a piece of the new Flaming Lips music that does stand alone, though.
Monday.
Right?
Yeah. What's that clip sound like? How do we play it without playing the Dark Side of the Moon?
There you go.
Shut up! What are you
talking to? Listen to that. That sure is Flaming Lips right there. That's what that is.
I believe Danny on line 4 has the answer to my trivia question.
He does indeed.
Danny?
Yes.
I need Johnny Depp's first movie role, please.
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
He was in the very first Nightmare on Elm Street film in 1984. Congratulations, Danny. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the premiere of Transcendence.
All right. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Congratulations also to Garrett and Joseph and Armando and Fernando. Sounds like the current lineup for Menudo. Danny and Garrett and Joseph and Armando and Fernando.
Adele Dazimo.
Adele Dazimo also called in. She's a winner as well. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. You know, people are smoking coffee.
What?
Just as an aside. You know, a big story today was that people are smoking coffee now.
How do you smoke coffee?
You take the coffee beans, you grind it up.
Grind it up.
You roll it up in a paper, and you light it, and you smoke it.
Wow. That sounds unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Fantastic.
It seems unsafe because the practitioners report hallucinations, vomiting, dizziness, and trouble breathing after they do it. But as one smoker said, no geezer would ever do this, and that's part of the charm of it, said one young man who smokes his coffee.
Because it makes you cool and hip and young.
Right.
It makes you stupid.
Because you're smoking the coffee instead of drinking it.
Huh.
They call themselves beanheads. There's a whole culture now around these people.
Stealing your name,
dude. I need a zone strike from some drones, and I need to take them all out. I've got to find those people. You have a clip of the beanheads singing their song about coffee?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jack Antonoff of Fun is 30 years old today. Ewan McGregor turns 43. Angus Young from AC/DC is 59 years old today. Give me a little AC/DC. All right, here we go. Finally, we're rocking out this morning.
Right. That's good stuff.
Are we tracking the whole album here, Mugs? What's happening?
Yeah.
Tough on them.
It's nothing I do.
Going down, party time. My friends are gonna be there for you. Yeah. On the highway to hell.
I can listen to this whole thing. That track is meant to be played with AC/DC on the other CD player.
Sure.
It enhances the original.
That is the great Wing, along with the Armenian community.
In a duet with Armenian community.
Yes. Quite a tribute.
Yeah. That's what
that was.
Angus Young deserves better on his birthday. I'm on a highway to hell.
That's what I'm talking about.
You don't realize how truly awful that other version is until you play that.
You're the really good one. Al Gore, 66, as is actress Rhea Perlman of Cheers, of course, and Christopher Walken, 71 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning. We have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got your tickets, April Foolishness, the party bus section, no party bus included.
If I want to buy tickets still for April Foolishness,
Ticketmaster!
Okay.
One-of-a-kind memorabilia we'll talk to you tomorrow. Ralph is a specialist in that, I believe.
I could rock your world with some memorabilia stories.
Hey, there's a new Michael Jackson album coming out.
Oh, finally. He's getting back to work. That's great.
And also tomorrow we have Seth Green on the program talking Robot Chicken. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.